regular monthly meeting slash work session. So good morning, and we'd like to do a roll call this morning. My name is Tammy Lee. I'm chair of the board, and I am in person.
Ron Wesson, in person.
John Trent, in person.
Ron Robertson, in person.
Why not?
Jonathan Huddleston, in person.
Percy County Manager Juan Vaughn II, in person.
William Robertson, Finance Director, in person.
Okay. Thank you. First on the agenda is we'd like to say the Pledge of Allegiance and offer a word of prayer, and I've asked Commissioner Wesson to do that.
Let us pray. Thank you, and let us pray. Heavenly Father and eternal God, Lord, we thank you for every single blessing. Lord, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to serve the citizens of this great county. Well, God, it's an awesome responsibility to work to try to improve the lives of every single person here in Berkshire County. As a board, Lord God, we ask that you direct our efforts, that the things that we do might be pleasing in your sight. Father, we know that there's a lot to be done, and we know that we're up to the task. Father, we also want to thank you, Father, for helping us get through this pandemic. Father, we know that we've lost citizens in this community, and others have been ill and recovered, but Lord God, just thank you for all of your blessings. We're getting through this, and Lord God, all of those who have lost, you know, our condolences to their families, and just ask them to lean on you. Father, continue to bless us. Keep us as we continue to fight through this, and as we work to just improve the lives of the citizens we serve. Thank you for all of your blessings. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in the pledge, if you would. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next on our agenda is a 3-minute public comment section. Courtney or Ms. Cartwright, are there any public comments this morning thus far?
I do not have any comments at this moment.
Okay. I'll remind the audience that if they would like to make a public comment, they can do so by way of our Facebook page or the website. And we'll have another one at the end of another public comment section at the end of our meeting. So if you'd like to submit any public comments, they can be read at that time. All right, so next on the agenda is the consent agenda. You have the tax release journal, which is on the left side of the page, correct? Yes. Good morning. You have your tax release journal, your registered deeds report, and your budget amendments for the consent agenda.
The budget amendments will be a handout.
Sir?
Budget amendments will be a handout, so they'll be handled separately.
Okay. So I'll take a motion to approve the tax release journal and the registered deeds report.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Do you have that handout now?
Yes, I do. Just a second.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You don't want to see one, do you? Okay. I mean, that's fine. Yeah, I'll make some extras. All right.
Just so the audience knows, this is a lot more than what we usually get in a meeting, and we have not seen these prior to the meeting. So if you'll give us a few minutes, and I'm assuming Mr. Robertson has an explanation.
I was going to run through them right quick and just go one by one.
All right.
The first one, when we got the CRF funds, they came back later on and said, by the fact that we had them, we should earn interest on the money. So I've calculated a distribution of our interest based on the money we got to set that up. So this is my attempt to get it in the books so it will show up on record. And I know it doesn't look like a lot, but we're not drawing a lot of interest right now anyhow. So, but that's what the first line item is. The second one, we've been having a discussion with the Mideast about our HCCBG grant and found out that it actually had changed a little bit from when we set the budget up. So this is a adjustment to get it more in line to what the actual budget is, which is a slight decrease. The CARES Act that Council of Aging got, setting that up so they can spend that money. That was about $46,000. And then I found out that the Families First Act, my original numbers were a little bit high from what I got when I finally got the official paperwork. So I had to make a slight adjustment to that one as well. The next line item was the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, LEAP. They have come out with some additional money. So it's just a matter of increasing the revenue and increasing the expenses to pass that through. The next one, which I think y'all had spoke about at the last meeting, was the Emergency Watershed Protection Grant. I'm trying to get this put into the budget so we can actually do the stream debris removal project that was discussed.
Now, that's not a real increase. That's just the total
amount. That's just the total amount that it had not been put in yet, and I finally got the paperwork so I could document it. The next one is Council of Aging gets, I guess it's pronounced SHIP grant. They get that. This paperwork here is showing where it's been verified. So this is putting that into the budget. So they'll have that available. The next ones, I have some documentation in there where we have got approval from FEMA to order some message boards for the vaccine clinics that they said would be covered. So I'm putting that in there so we could order those message boards. And then the last one was where we had talked about in the past about if we potentially see some savings from the CRF funds, we'd be able to set the budget up for the furniture for the Cooperative Extension building. And this is my attempt to try to get that set up and moved to the proper accounts. So that pretty much is a summary of it. Any questions?
Is it possible that we can put this online on our website for transparency purposes?
Absolutely.
For the public?
Sure.
Thank you. Any questions? I'll take a motion to approve these budget amendments then.
I make a motion to approve the budget amendments.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you, William.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, we have the Trillium Health Resources annual report by Mr. Blaine Baker, which is our Northern Regional Director. So, yes, come join us. Thank you, sir. And he is in person for the purpose of the audience.
Madam Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and Commissioner Board, I appreciate you letting me come. And Mr. Vaughn told me I had about 2 minutes. I'm not sure I can get it all in 2 minutes, but I actually will be brief. I'll just give some highlights. So I will not be, you have all the slides, I won't be going all over all of those, but I did want to give some highlights. Is it supposed to work? Well,
Is it turned on?
Well.
Okay.
You would think with all this technology, all this the last year, that I would know what I was doing. But some things never change, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, that does help too.
Oh, okay.
In my former life, I had to use one of them things, and it always messed up on me.
Okay. So just briefly, you know, you all know who we are. I do want to say one thing to Commissioner Robertson. In person, we actually met by phone initially when he was appointed, and we've decided that we'd like to have a face-to-face meeting. So we're going to get together in you know, the next week or two with some dates so we can have a better conversation about, you know, what we're doing and, you know, Bertie County maybe and what the needs are, and just have that conversation. So, I mean, he came on and we had a meeting right off the bat, and he was right there. And then he had another meeting right behind that with us, and he was right there. So he's going to be a very good asset to my board, because he obviously cares about the people of Bertie County. So
been just very engaged.
And far, he didn't pay me anything to say that. So, just briefly, so last year we served around 58,000 people, and we spent $475 million roughly on those services for those 58,000 people. We continue to manage a provider network of around 500 people. We have worked very hard not to lose any of those providers in this pandemic, and I'll talk a little bit more about what we've done later about that. I want to spend a little bit of time. I don't know how many of you know what Medicaid transformation is, but I think it's something that the majority of our counties and our people in our counties do not fully understand what that really is going to mean. And this is not the place to talk very in depth about it, because that's the whole presentation in itself. But basically, Medicaid transformation is what the General Assembly has decided, that they're going to move Medicaid from a fee-for-service model to a managed care model. And Trillium, or the MCO for our services, has been on managed care for some time, but the physical health of people has been on a fee-for-service. So this is going to be a big difference. So last year, the division put out an RFP and for the what would be called the standard plan. That's one of the options for people who qualify for Medicaid. So out of that RFP, if you see these insurance companies on the screen, they're the ones who were awarded the standard plan. One of the biggest differences for them is that they've never managed Medicaid dollars before. So they don't even know what that means. So they've been working to try to educate themselves in doing that. And the standard plans, they're going to be managing the mild to moderate behavioral health services of individuals. So the division started open enrollment today for those people who are going to qualify for the standard plan. So Trillium didn't have anything to do with who gets the standard plan, who gets the tailored plan. The Division of Mental Health looked at all the claims that were billed for all the individuals who received Medicaid for the last 18 months, based on diagnosis and services that they've received, and they have made the determination of who's going to fit in what category. So we're in open enrollment today, which means that everybody who is eligible for the standard plan should have had a packet mailed to them starting a couple of weeks ago, and the last packet should have been received by Friday. So the open enrollment period, which means that if I get a letter, I got to sign up for one of those five plans, and I got to pick me a primary care physician. Well, if I don't know which insurance plans my doctor has contracted with, I might sign up for Healthy Blue or Blue Cross, and they may not contract with my doctor. So all of a sudden, I don't have my doctor that I've had for 10 years or 20 years. So that's a very important point that I think people should know and understand. Before it was put on hold last year, we tried to do some education in the community, and the division slapped our hand because they said that was their job, and they saw that as us trying to influence who they would sign up with, which was not the case at all. We just wanted our folks to be educated about what was going to happen. So anyway, beginning May the 15th, if I haven't signed up for a plan yet or I didn't read my letter, then they're going to put me in a plan. There's a system at the state that auto-enrolls people that have not selected a standard plan by the 15th of May. I'm just saying, okay? So this standard plan is effective July 1, 2021. So by that date, the standard plans will begin to serve Medicaid individuals with the low to moderate needs in behavioral health, plus the physical health as well.
Yes. I'm hoping that on that letter, there was a number they could call. There,
I have not seen a packet. I saw some initially when they went out last year, but then they put everything on hold because of the budget. There's supposed to be an 800 number that they can call the enrollment broker that will help walk them through the process. There's a website they can also log on to. They can do it by their iPhone. There's a lot of ways, but there are people to help support these individuals in trying to make those decisions. Yep.
One of the things that was discussed, I don't know if it ever stayed in the package, was that if people had not self-enrolled by a certain date, right?
Right.
Like the number, that they would get a call to kind of walk them through and discuss. Is that still there, or do they have to make that call themselves in order to get some?
They have to make that call themselves, as I understand it now. And they also would, I saw in a presentation that the state did, that they actually did send or will send a reminder letter to the individuals if they haven't signed up by the middle of the open enrollment period, to remind them that that's something that they do need to do. So tailored plans, which is the other option, in this particular option, only the managed care organizations, which is like Trillium, the seven of us across the state, we were the only organizations that were allowed to respond to the RFP this time. So they were to select between 5 and 7 MCOs. So there's a chance that not every MCO across the state will even get a contract for the tailored plan. That's in statute. So the tailored plan manages the moderate to high risk individuals, in addition to the physical health. And that's going to be something different for us. We've done the Medicaid a long time, and we've also managed all the behavioral health services, but never any physical services. So that's going to be new for us, which is going to be a lot of education on our part and consultants and new staff that are experts at physical health. And we also are going to be required to partner with one of those standard plans that is accustomed to working with physical health. So that RFP was released this past November. And we actually submitted our application in February the 2nd, I believe. And so they'll be making those decisions June the 11th. We'll get a notice. Now, the tailored plan will not become in effect until a year from July 1, 2021. So that gives us some more time to continue to build our infrastructure and what we need to do to be able to manage those individuals, which we already are managing them now. But so what's that going to look like? And I think the whole point of the state wanting to do this tailored plan business, including social determinants of health, what we realize is that if my physical needs aren't met, then I'm not going to take very good care of myself, either with my doctor or my psychiatrist or both. If I'm worried about where I'm going to live, what my children are going to eat, then I can't even concentrate on what my recovery might look like. So the state has included those social determinants of health as being a part of what the tailored plan will look like. And we're working on ways to develop services for those social determinants of health. We're going to have to contract with every pharmacist in North Carolina who will contract with us, because we'll be handling the pharmacy benefits as well. And the whole point is that when I get my card in the mail and it's got the number of my insurance company on it, it may be Trillium, it may be Blue Cross, it may be WellCare, I got a number and I can use that card to go to my psychiatrist. I can use that card to go to my doctor for my flu shot, and I can use that card to go to my pharmacy to get my medicine. And all of those people will be more included kind of under one roof. They'll be talking about me, and they can coordinate my care, and we can manage every aspect of that person's life. And that's the whole point of this managed care business anyway. So
well, I have a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
When it comes to the elderly and the Medicaid you're talking about through the state, you guys are pretty much kind of involved in the management area of that.
Uh-huh.
Is that going to include like eyesight, glasses, dentures, things of that nature? How does that work out?
Dental is not included.
Dental is
in this. I mean, now that's not to say that Medicaid won't still pay for those. If of course, I don't think all dentists participate in Medicaid. I think that's an option for them, but there are dentists who do take that, and I think there are options for people's eyeglasses, but we will only be managing the medications, and I think the dental and the eyesight will be something else managed by someone else, but not us. So I'm not really sure how that plays into the whole scheme of things, but not for us.
Various occasions, different people about their glasses and things of that nature. Dental, not a lot, but mainly glasses. And I was just wondering if they
were
involved with that.
That also means we'll have to contract with every primary care physician there is, as many as we can get to contract with us if we can get all of them too. And that means specialists. Because if I got somebody that's schizophrenic, they still might need knee surgery. So we'll have to contract with all of those specialists to be sure that our folks can be looked after both physically and mentally as well. Big, big change. So I guess just the impact of today, what it means, beginning July 1 of 2021, this year, we're going to lose about 35,000 consumers to the standard plan. Now, you think, well, how are you all going to make it on serving 20,000 people? But, you know, and of course, they set our rate based on member per month, and they look at what the physical health charges are as well. And I don't know that they've even had that meeting yet. But we'll be managing around 20,000 people who are already would be qualified for the tailored plan. Let me just say that there is a... I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but I just think you have to know as much as you can about it, because I do think it makes a difference. The other thing that I think people don't get is, you know, we have contracted with providers to go in schools to do school-based therapy. And July 1, 2021, that's a standard plan benefit. If they don't get any other services, they fall under the standard plan. Well, if that provider that's doing that school-based therapy in the school system isn't contracted with the right insurance company, then my child may not be able to get it anymore. So that's why it's really important for people to understand, and that important that these providers, they don't need to wait for the standard plans to come and find them and say, we want to contract with you. The providers need to be stalking them and saying, okay, we need a contract. What do we need to do it? So I just feel like we have to hear that. All right, let's see. So shifting gears a little bit in terms of COVID-19, which is what we've all lived with this whole year. So as we set up a separate webpage for information around COVID-19, we've actually gotten some of the health departments to put their link on our website, so you know people can have a good idea of when schedules are for vaccines and that kind of thing. We spent a lot of money this year on rate increases for providers in our provider community, in our network of providers, anywhere from 5 to 30% increase. We had provider, because we didn't want them to go out of business, because it's hard enough as it is now to get people referred just on a regular basis. So some of that money went to retainer payments for people whose staff that had to go home to take care of family, or they got sick themselves. They got a retainer payment so that they could continue to pay those folks and employ those people while they were recuperating. Most of our services require an authorization before they can get a service. We waived all of those so that if provider A got a referral, they didn't have to go through the authorization process. They could start serving that individual right away. One of the other things we did is we kind of made sure that in looking at the services, most of the services are face-to-face, and we actually figured out ways for them to do them, you know, either via a smartphone or an iPad, or we've got special permission for our folks to get services through one of those types of devices that typically only allows you to do something face-to-face. Be very creative, and the division approved that. So we have tried our best to keep our consumers and our communities in their services as best we can based on what we've got to work with. And some of that money, those increases in rates, they went to purchase tablets for individuals that were doing outpatient therapy that they couldn't do it face-to-face, those kind of things. The respite was increased for some of the children with intellectual developmental disabilities to 30 hours, and we're still doing telehealth, and we'll continue to probably do that. We actually also, specifically the HOPE program to address housing, we've got several different housing programs. We've got one related to hurricanes. We've got one related to transitional living for people who are coming out of facilities and need a place to live, and then come in those homes and stay for a while. And then as they get more stable, we've got some assistance for those folks that you know, are homeless, trying to find them an affordable place to live through grants that we've been able to get to for down payments for rent, or get their lights turned on, that kind of thing.
Question. Since we're on housing and the HOPE program, how long could a client be serviced? How long would y'all pay their rent? How many months? Would it go into a year, 2 years, or 6 months?
I will be honest, I don't really know that answer. I will get it for you before we get together. But okay. What I will say is that there's always a situation where if we need to extend somebody for a little bit longer because maybe they don't have a job yet. I mean, of course, this is based on the fact that we're going to try to help folks get jobs and they can become self-supporting as much as they can be. And so, and that doesn't happen in 3 months. It doesn't happen in a year sometimes. So, but we do try as much as we can to help support folks until they can get back on their feet.
Let me ask you a question about
sure.
the HOPE program.
Uh-huh.
Because there are some serious flaws with it right now.
Okay.
All right. One is, we do know it got cut off on the 28th, okay, of February. They stopped processing people from the COVID plan, reference to rent being paid to property management companies.
Okay.
For the property management companies that have filled out all the paperwork, the W-9s, and the applications for it, and the tenants or the people who are renting the houses that filled it out also, and perfect example, January 7th, January 8th, and still have not received any checks or anything from the HOPE program.
Okay.
And it's still sitting out there. And when you talk, finally, you cannot get a hold of anybody on the 211 number that you're supposed to call reference, okay? And the third thing is that you turn around from there, when somebody ends up calling you, they say, well, it's in finance, but we're not sure when you're going to get the check. But they've already had you sign an agreement stating that you can't evict, you can't do any of this if you expect this check. And you got a lot of property management companies that are looking at it like this. They don't want to evict these people because it's Could be COVID related, could be anything.
Right.
They want to keep people inside their houses. But if you come up with a program that's supposed to pay their rent and do these things, problem is the organization itself is not organized to get the checks cut and get them out. I know some people have gotten them, but you have a lot of property management companies out there that still have not received checks, okay. And they're going on 6 and 7 months without being paid.
Can I ask you a question? You said calling 211.
Yes, that's a 211 number, and it is when you call Trillium, they refer you to a 211 number.
Okay.
You just dial 211, and it rings continuously, or there's a recording that pops up, and nobody else gets on there.
Okay, all right. I can totally take a look at that. I can't respond to those things because I don't know, but I will take a look at that and look into that.
Board, I did text him just a few minutes ago in reference to all this.
Okay.
So maybe he can bring that up at the next meeting. You'll see it on the text.
Okay, John.
Work, Mr. Robert.
Yeah, and John is so right because I tried 211. And what I did, I ended up calling emergency management, and they got me over to the correct person I need to speak with. But we'll work through that.
Okay. All right. I'd appreciate this comment. Some of our projects that we've done, one of the things that we did, you know, DSS has had some concerns about kids and adults as well. They don't want kids sleeping in their lobbies at night. We get that. And trying to figure out what to do about adults and maybe housing. That's something that Medicaid does not pay for. So that is a limited amount of money. And what we need is additional funding for adults for housing in terms of, when I say housing, I mean group home type living for people that can't live by themselves. But anyway, so we actually contracted with a provider that actually has opened up some respite homes specifically for DSS kids. And the way that works is if they have a kid and they have an emergency, and it's always a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and we don't know what to do with them. And so they can call the respite home directly, and if they have a bed, they can put them in there and they can stay for 14 days. And Trillium pays that bill.
How long has that been going?
About a year.
DSS directors know? I mean, have they?
Oh, absolutely, they know.
How about sheriff's departments?
Well, the DSS are the only ones who can refer to the rest because it's specifically for them. But we had meetings with every DSS director prior to this ever getting started. So they, and a lot of them have used these homes. And of course, as I said, Trillium will pay the first 14 days. After that, it becomes the county's responsibility. But hopefully, if you start discharge planning on the first day you go in, 9 times out of 10, somebody can find a placement of some kind. And you can extend it for a short period of time. But we've had good luck with those. We've had a lot of good luck with the DSS around that. And, you know, we've done naloxone kits for the last 2 or 3 years. I've usually called the sheriff's department and just taking the kits to them. But I did speak to Mr. Vaughn this year, and I thought maybe the county ought to have some say where they go, if it's EMS or sheriff's department or everywhere they want to send them. So I just delivered them to him this time, and then he could decide where they go. We're going to get some more. We've got another $100,000 that we can spend on those kits. That's from the state. So they'll be coming fairly soon. So you'll be getting calls about where you want those to go as well. So one of the other things that we did, we actually provided kits for our providers in our counties, COVID kits with masks and sanitizer and all those kinds of things to help with their PPE. Items, we delivered some of those kits to all of our providers that especially who have day programs or group homes, but they have a lot of individuals on a regular basis. I know Rachel's house here in Windsor got 80 kits for their consumers, and then they got some kits for themselves as well. We put in hand sanitizer stations at all the playgrounds.
that we had funded some years ago to kind of promote staying safe. We've got some racial equity projects that we have done internally and externally as well, in terms of taking a look at our hiring practices, that we are, that our staff is across the board is more equitable in terms of race, salaries, all those things. We've hired someone to come in and help us kind of do that. And we're also addressing some of those issues in a community level through our collaborative meetings. Let's see. So in terms of Bertie County specifically, we served 725 individuals last year for Bertie County. And you see that 563 of those had mental health issues, 140 of those had substance use issues, and 77 of those had intellectual developmental disabilities issues. So those services cost about $8 million roughly is what those services cost. And I know that Commissioner Wesson always wants to talk about we need more beds, and we are absolutely in agreement with that. But again, you know, we don't have the funding, and until that comes from the General Assembly and allocating that money, and you know, we have lobbyists that work on those kinds of things, but we just have to deal with what we have until we get more. And I want to say one other thing to Commissioner Atkins. I know the last time I was here, he had an issue with mobile crisis. I don't know if that was resolved or not, or how that played out. And I guess I should have followed up myself, but I did report his concern to mobile crisis. But what I would say is they are a very valuable service in our community. And of course, I know if I go to a restaurant and I don't have good service, I don't go back. You got one chance with me. But I would encourage our counties and, you know, sheriffs and police departments and whoever else that utilizes them to give them another shot, because I think they are our best source of keeping people out of the emergency room that doesn't need to be there, that keep people from having IVCs that don't need them. They can get connected before that happens. They can, a lot of times they can refer folks for other appointments and services. So, and I say, you know, I'll say everybody has a bad day. So I would give them another opportunity, because until we find something better, they're our best option in terms of trying to get people linked before they get to the hospital. And one other thing that we've been doing to try to keep, once people get in the hospital, we have developed teams that call our hospitals every day to find out how many of you got in there, when they went, what's the discharge date, or what is the barrier, if it's an inpatient bed somewhere, if it's they need to be referred for a service. We call every day. We keep a spreadsheet on how many people are actually in the hospital, in the EDs, in all of the counties that we contract with, and try to help support the hospitals in trying to find those placements. So whether it's group home, whether it's an inpatient bed. So we are trying to do other things that we can to kind of help support our hospitals and that kind of thing. So, and that's all I have.
Well, thank you. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I do have one real basic question, Blaine. With this, you know, 36 states in the U.S. have done Medicaid expansion fully. I understand that North Carolina chose to do something different. We call this Medicaid expansion, but it's not the same.
What we're doing is not Medicaid expansion. It's not.
So how many people are served, how many new people are going to be served as a result of this change? Do you know? New people.
I would say the change is not going to affect that at all.
Right.
Because it takes the people right now who are being served, and it just splits them up into different groups. So no, but of course there are always, and of course, Commissioner Wesson, there are always, and we do get new people.
But the total numbers of this package doesn't
No.
Those people who are not covered now don't really get anything else unless they fall.
One thing I didn't mention, though, those people who don't have Medicaid,
right.
We will still be responsible for those individuals, even after the tailored plan.
Right.
We'll get that same pot of state money that's limited, and we have to use that money to serve those individuals who have no insurance at all. But to answer your question, this whole thing doesn't increase. It's the same number of people. It's just splitting them different ways.
And that's the problem, Glenn, because right now the estimate is that 400,000 citizens who would qualify for Medicaid expansion in North Carolina fall through the gap.
I agree.
And are not covered. And we're talking working people.
I agree.
Working people. People get confused about Medicaid expansion. It covers primarily working people.
Right.
With the change in rules, they would now qualify for Medicaid services and expansion. That number is 400,000 citizens in this country, in this count, in this state.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people hear about these changes and they think, it's Medicaid expansion.
It's not.
We want to make that very clear.
Oh, yes,
this
it is not.
The same body
all.
Of people who are covered now, but that potential is still there.
Right.
But our legislature has chosen not to do that at this time.
Well, I just feel like, and of course, you know, I'm nobody. But I do feel like that is going to happen eventually.
Certainly.
And it may happen with everybody kicking and screaming to the table. But I do think I don't think we're going to have any other choice but to help folks like that.
And so, Glenn, you said there has been conversation.
I'm sure they're all going on. I mean, that's where the war is at the state about whether we're going to expand Medicaid or not. But that is not a Trillium conversation. That is a General Assembly state legislation conversation. But
Commissioner Robinson, there is major debate at the legislature about this. North Carolina Association of County Commissioners is supportive of Medicaid expansion. Almost every physician, health department, hospital across the state is in favor of Medicaid expansion.
Sure.
But our legislators have chosen, at least so far, not to do it, but it is on the table.
Yeah.
Why are they choosing to go a different route, Ron?
John, you know,
I've talked to different people at the hospital and they have said the same thing.
Here's the thinking. The government pays almost all of the federal government, all of this up front for the first few years, right?
Right.
But at some point, that federal money will phase out.
Uh-huh.
And the reason it phases out is because we should have improved the health of people as we entered this. But then that responsibility falls to the state, right? More of it. And the state's afraid that somewhere down the line, more of this responsibility will fall on them.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, maybe they're right. But I can tell you this, if we don't improve the health of people, those 400,000 who are not covered, nothing will happen to them, but it'll get worse.
That's interesting because I think our governor himself ran off Medicaid expansion.
Absolutely.
Most of the legislators that did run and senators that ran off Medicaid expansion.
Absolutely.
And it's funny that they are altering their...
And the majority of citizens in the state favor it. Big time.
That's a subject for another day.
One last question. You mentioned that perhaps that telemedicine would be covered.
It would just be increased, improved. Okay. We have providers that are doing that right now.
Right. No change in that.
No, just trying to do more of it.
Right, good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And it's nice to see somebody face-to-face without a mask in front of their face. This is, we've been in at home since March, and they keep moving the date out, and now it's April, but they've allowed me to come to this meeting and one before this last week, and I think it's great to get out. I feel like a bird out of a cage, but I do appreciate your support, and I will get back to you with some answers about some of your concerns. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so the new CDC guidelines say that if everybody in the room has been vaccinated, we don't have to wear masks. So we have all the commissioners have been vaccinated.
Have a safe trip back. I'll see you at the pool.
Thank you all. Okay.
All right.
right. So next on the agenda is the property tax exemption exclusion request appeal by tax administrator Jody Ray. Jody, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Take the floor, sir.
Okay. Ms. Vivian Saunders made an application for the Hive House for property tax exemption that was dated February the 4th. I rejected that application based on the statutory deadline being the month of listing, which is January 1st through the 31st. The statute gives the board and only the board the authority to approve a late application for good cause. It does not define what good cause is. The Department of Revenue nor the School of Government will define what good cause is. So it's kind of broad. Given Ms. Saunders' explanation and the fact that her application meets all the other qualifications, I recommend that the board approve the late application.
Yes. I'd like to make the motion that the board approve the exemption for Ms. Saunders. She is certainly 501c3. I think they changed somewhere in not 2019. It does not go back and give her any additional funds for what was lost, but it does protect her going forward, and I think she deserves that.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you, Mr. Judge Ray.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Mr. Steve Biggs, our economic developer director. Mr. Biggs, please take the floor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Commissioners, and all others for having me this morning. Actually, this the gentleman that was prior to me said that the county manager gave him 2 minutes. The county manager with privilege gave me 2 hours. So, oh no, 2 minutes. Yes. I am here this morning on actually for two different subjects. One of them that you received in your packet is a letter to Scott Hamilton, who is the president of Golden Leaf. Commissioner Wesson and I don't know if somebody needs to hit us in the head sometimes or be thankful that we are continuing and have continued to work on the teacher housing initiative for Bertie County. As history will show, we had a tough time the last time we were trying to make this happen. And it just seemed like we kept running into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And so not to let it go by the wayside, since you had been approved, number one, by the Credit Union Foundation, and number two, by Golden Leaf to the tune of $240,000. Commissioner Wesson, along with some other people, devised a new 501c3 that will keep this initiative going. We have requested to Golden Leaf Foundation to renew their responsibility to Bertie County, for lack of a better term, to help us in this endeavor. As I mentioned before, it was $240,000 previously that we had requested and were approved of. We are now asking them for an additional $583,000 that will bring the total to $823,105 to cover the cost overruns now that we are going to have in this project. Again, the letter that was put in your packet states all this, but we are here to ask for your support in this endeavor. I know you have supported it in the past, and we would certainly appreciate your support now. And the reason we wanted to get right in front of you as quick as we could was they meet at the end of this month. They being Golden League, meet at the end of this month. We'd love to have their approval on this amount of money prior to our meeting with the Credit Union Foundation in mid-April. It'll just make it all look like everyone's working together, which we are, to make this happen. So that's the first thing I'm here to request.
Let me speak to that just briefly, too. First of all, I want to thank Steve for the work that he's done, because he's done a lot of the heavy lifting along with the folks like Kevin at Mideast and others. But it's interesting that we thought we were blocked because the legislature, even though the House had approved it, that we could do it under Windsor Township Development, the Senate would not send it to the lower four votes, so we thought we were stuck. The Credit Union Foundation came to us about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, and said, there's another way to do this. Why don't you guys just form a new 501c3? You don't have to go before the legislature. They still have the $2.3 million that they offered to us. It's still there. Unfortunately, John knows, and a lot of you guys in construction, the cost has gone up dramatically. So we're looking at an additional $500,000+ to do the exact same thing that we approved for before, right? So I don't know any other place to go get $500,000 than Golden Leaf. So we talked to them. And asked them if they would reopen because we gave back the 240. And I can tell you, they're gonna do, as they said, they're gonna do every single thing possible to try to help fund us. It does not require any money from the county, any money from the town, any money from our partners, no money. And in fact, it doesn't even require any new money from the State Employees Foundation, even though they've given us a couple of options if we chose to use them. But the main thing is we'll know by the end of the month. And we already know, we're pretty guaranteed, that the State Employees Foundation will transfer that approval from Windsor Township to our new 501c3. So if we got the money, we're good to go. We don't get the money, man.
Manages the 501c3 with the 990s and all that kind of stuff?
We're going to ask the Mideast is going to handle the whole grant process in place, and we won't have to do any of that. That's the good part about it.
Great.
Yeah.
So. What's the pleasure of the board?
I'll make the motion that we approve the
letter?
The increase of the $583,005.
I'll second that.
Okay. So we are just approving to send
the letter.
Yes.
The letter saying that we're supportive of this endeavor. Okay, good. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And if you don't have ink pen, I do, if you'll sign that so we can get that sent right over. I'm joking. The county manager also asked me to just kind of give you a quick update on some of the projects that we're working on. I'm sure all of you have read and heard about High Speed Gear. We are so excited about them being here. It's just been one of those things that, you know, every once in a while something falls in place, and it falls in place like it's supposed to. To have started a project like this in mid-September and for them to already be in business now is pretty much unheard of. I mean, it really and truly is. They never asked for one dime. When I happened to mention to them about some things that we might be able to do, they didn't have time for that. They're the guys that, let's rock and roll, let's make this happen, let's get people on the payroll, and they've done that. Hopefully, very soon, we will be able to have a ribbon cutting, but at their request, they wanted to wait until they had people in the building more than what they've got now in the building, which hopefully that'll be within the next couple of weeks, just so you can all come out and see exactly what they are doing, how they do things, and what they do their things for. Again, an absolute great company. They are planning to move part of their facility from Swansboro here. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Swansboro, but they are the largest employer in Swansboro, number one. And number two, we're hoping that, we're not hoping, we know that if they can get some more room there, part of that business that they have in Houston, Texas, will be relocated here. Realistically, in short order, within a year's time of a contact, I feel like this could be one of the largest, you know, economic hits we've had in the last 10 years, at least. Another company that we're working with is called, you know, everything's got to have a project name. I don't know who came up with that, but anyhow, it's long before my time, and I've been here almost 20 years, so we just filed a suit on that, was Project Metal Roof. And Project Metal Roof is two local companies that are in the roofing business. They are not bringing those two companies together, but they're taking off from those two companies and starting a new business that will be located here in Bertie County. Approximately 10 new employees once they're up and running. Some of the financing was done through the Windsor Township Development Corporation, and we certainly thank them for that. And we have other financing opportunities that is certainly going to help them get this up and running. They have a lot of contracts that they want to go ahead and fill, so we're trying to get them, along with them working extremely hard, trying to get them up and running. Unfortunately, we've tried several different ways to help them find some grant opportunities or some help in this, and I don't know. It just seems to me like sometimes we just get stomped on.
What exactly do they do? I know you said metal roofing, but do they just manufacture or they install also?
The two companies install right now that they have. It's two different gentlemen.
Right.
Both of those companies install. Okay. This new company will manufacture not only roofing, but siding for, you know, metal buildings.
I spoke to one of the owners last week, and he said that originally he got into this just trying to supply him and his partner with metal roofing, but he says he can so see it going beyond that and being able to supply metal roofing for a lot of different people. So that's,
he's
that's
be on
wonderful.
Retail base, not just wholesale base. Right? Yeah,
correct.
Right.
Both.
Right.
Correct.
Steve, where's the location?
The old Thompson.
Lee Lumber.
Lumber
Company.
Yeah. Lumber
okay.
Company.
I've been on 13.
They had, you know, already purchased the building before we really, well, I'll not say they had purchased it. They had made a deal to purchase the building before we started talking.
So when they may start hiring?
If I had to guess, it's going to be at least 3 months, because part of the equipment that they are getting is specialty equipment, and it had to be made.
Sure.
We started working with them back in September, October, maybe October. But, you know, being a brand new company, we had to help them put together a business plan, which took a lot longer than what we thought it was going to take. So that kind of set us back a little bit.
Well, you know, everybody should know, and Steve did a great job of, he brought these folks before the Windsor Township development, and the business plan was excellent. The market, we don't have a manufacturer of metal roofing in this region. Closest thing we have is a wholesaler over in Jamesville, but no manufacturer. So the market is big. And these guys are already big installers, both of them separate. They do some work together, but being able to supply themselves, supply others, John, you're right, wholesale and retail, it's a big market. So we approved them for a significant amount of money. And we just, as of July 1st, we're going to release another $50,000 that would be available within Windsor Township Development Corporation for either future loans and expansion of business. So we're excited about it. We think it's a great opportunity. Steve, why don't you say one thing about high-speed gear, though, about their expectations when they thought they could come here and maybe interview and hire five people on the first day, how our citizens blew them away with the qualified people that we have here.
Yeah, that really was a fun day. Just so you'll know, and thank you for bringing that up. Again, this has been unique the whole way. And I love telling this story. If you'll give me two extra minutes, I love telling this story how they actually, the vice president of the company traveling back and forth through this area, heading to the Tidewater area, Hampton Roads, whatever you call it now, to visit his mother and find out about Scott Chaw, stopped to play golf there, eventually got teamed up with David Peel, who y'all all know from Avoca, that's retired now. And he called David one day after, and he said, you know, we're trying to relocate a company to Eastern North Carolina. And he told him where he was trying to locate it. And David said, well, let me give you a phone number to call. And it was my phone number. Thank goodness. And the reason that this was kind of funny, I always said, you know, Scotch Hall would one day bring us something good. Had no idea it would be this. I thought it would be something that was on site. But anyhow, if had that not been there, naturally they would have never met, never played, and we probably wouldn't have this project. But the other part of it was the project was supposed to go across the bridge. I won't call any names, but no one contacted them. And so when the guy called me, once David gave him a number, I told him he was looking at the wrong place. Anyhow, he needed to be here. And he said, will you find me 15,000 square foot? Instantly, the next day, he was here. The next day, he was here. And we went and looked at the Wrangler building, and everything else is water under the bridge. But the day that we had NC Works do a career day for us, they were thinking they might have, they being high speed gear, thought they might have 5 or 10 people that would show up and do interviews. Well, they had 43 people to show up. And out of 43, that day they hired 31 of them. Out of those 31 people, every single one of them passed a drug test, every one of them. Mm-hmm. So, again, hopefully we can maneuver a little more room in there and a couple other things will fall in place. The owner, his investors, a lot of people were here, will be 3 weeks ago this coming Wednesday, a lot of people. And we're really looking for bigger and better things out of them. I mean, they like Windsor, they like Bertie County. They like what they saw when they were here. So I can only imagine they're young. All of them are young. And that just excites me to see people that age really pushing hard to make something happen here in Bertie County.
And they say they have the potential to hire up to 200.
That's good.
Here in Bertie
County.
Good.
That'd
stuff,
be huge.
Good stuff.
That'd be sweet. One other thing, speaking of Scotch Hall, as most of you know, Scotch Hall was on the auction, not just being foreclosed on. They were actually just on the auction back in November. One company out of Northern Virginia won the auction or the bid, did not close on the property. And so we have another company that is, I'd like to consider them local. They're out of Durham. I think most of you that enjoy sports at all have heard of the ING Network. Which is not as big as ESPN, but they're getting there. But they are the ones that are looking at Scotch Hall. They have been doing their due diligence for the last month and a half, give or take. There's connections for some of y'all that might remember Ken Younger, who was originally from here, made a living in Charlotte, but always loved coming back here. There's some connections there with him, even though he's passed away. But we are really looking forward to what they have planned. They've shared a few things, but until it closes, you know, I'm one of those guys, I don't like to make announcements. I just don't like to do it because just as sure as you do, something will blow up. And that kind of gives me a segue into the next project is we are working with a company to do some rather large for us retail in Lewiston. And if we are able to secure the property, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to. The developer has tried, of course. And now all of a sudden talks have just kind of ceased because the landowner just doesn't call back. But anyhow, there's some things there that we really are going to get excited about should that happen. And hopefully things will turn around in the coming weeks. We just don't know. And of course, we always continue to work with Robin on Tall Glass of Water. You know, it's getting to where now it's going to have a home of its own and somebody working it, you know, every breath they take. We learned that through the U.S. 17 Highway Association when we were just kind of floundering around and we hired someone that's what they thought of 24 hours a day. That was all they thought of 24 hours a day. And, of course, Robin's doing an extremely good job of thinking of it 24 hours a day. But, you know, she's going it's going to have to find its own home in a department somewhere, hopefully soon. And maybe she'll be able to move that quite a bit faster than what we're going. But I'm very thankful for Robin. I don't mind telling you. She has really created some, I like to call it wealth for us in all of the grants that she has been able to secure. I tell you, she knows how to write them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take this point of privilege just to brag on her. Part F, the grant that she wrote, there has been another grant opportunity that people had to do their homework before they could even apply. And the lady sent out her application and said, read this and you'll never have to read another grant. This one was written so well. So just so you know, she knows how to do what she's doing.
Well, the resiliency grant that she wrote was unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Jeez.
I got a copy of that and I was just like, wow.
She works hard at it.
She's good.
Yeah, she's been great. Anytime you send her text or email, she's on it. So, yeah, she's been great to work with and has done some great work. And I did not get to mention or failed to mention that the co-owner of the metal roofing company sung praises for you, too. So. Yeah, so he's very appreciative of the work that you've done to help him.
He actually said he's going to buy you some socks to wear your
shoes. It'll be his first pair.
But I'm, you know, certainly available. I'll answer any questions I can if y'all got any. If not.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, and by the way, we are working on a project with Dr. Arwin Smallwood, to have Indian Woods placed on the National Register of Historic Places. Just sent a letter out this morning from the EDC board in the support of, but there are a lot of other groups that are working with him on that. And so hopefully that will happen soon too. And that's big. When you can get placed on historic places, National Register of Historic Places. That's a great accomplishment. So hopefully they'll make that happen.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's take just a quick 5-minute recess and give everybody a chance to stretch their legs. Thank you, Steve.
No, I'm free. I'm free. I'm almost shivering, man. I'm almost shivering. I just asked Tammy. I said, she goes. I'm freezing.
John? What's the deal, man? What's the deal? You good?
Hey, man. Hey.
Yes.
Okay, just want to let you know that we are all ready to get going again.
Yes, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cartwright, is everybody back on and ready to go?
Kelly, it looks like they're ready.
I can't.
Yeah, it looks like they're ready.
So, yes, we're back to order, and the next topic on the agenda is the water rate study by County Manager Juan Vaughn II and Ricky Spivey. And Mr. Spivey has not showed up, but he is on his way.
Yes, he is en route. He and Ms. Connie are coming to talk about the water rate study. So at the last work session, the board wanted to dive into this study. There were a few questions that were asked, and we want to try to answer those today. And so I gave you the handout, and I know it's kind of small, but I'll explain exactly what's there, and I'll try to point to the highlights here on the screen. So the first question, one of the main questions that was asked last time when we were talking about water rates was, what does it cost to run the water department? Well, let's take a look at the revenues and expenditures for the past 4 years. As you can see, we have starting from fiscal year 16-17 on up to 19-20. You'll see back in 16-17, the revenues are in blue. So you can see we went up in 17-18, and they've dropped down 18 and in 19. And on the end here is a four-year average. So that tells you what the four-year average is for the revenues and expenditures. So for expenditures have been increasing since 16-17. All right, now come on in. Okay, so now we wanted to take a look at this historical data in order to be able to say it takes X amount to run the water department. So we feel very comfortable with saying that it takes about over 2.6 million to run the water department. That's what it costs us. Now, so we feel comfortable saying 2.7. Of course, Ricky and I, we took a look. Some line items can be adjusted, some, but for the most part, 2.7 will do it. So now let's take a look further. I know you all will have some questions soon. While I'm talking about revenues, I'll come back to water sales in just a second. It's important to note, and you'll see this in the handout that you have, over $1 million of our budgeted expenses go towards debt service, towards loans. And so those loans are, again, here. I highlighted those here, and they are in the handout that I gave you. But I thought that was very important for us to see. That's a big chunk of our expenses are simply loan debt service.
I know a lot of them are still fairly recent, but do we know the expiration date and payoff dates on some of these loans?
I don't know them, of course, off the top of my head, and I'm sure William nor Ricky do, but they would have a better idea than I do. I know some of them last, Ricky said last time, they'll last probably longer than we do.
Actually, Commissioner, I think that that's what you all signed off on was back in 2016 or 2014, but we need to live in payroll, and we spent that 6 point something million in the real world. I think we signed about 35 or 40 years old when we can recover. And then the one prior to that was when we first started building the system itself. And then they were kind of combined everything, but his side of our home there. They were six of them.
The one that we got for the Roxville area?
Yes, sir.
Roxville. To finish that loop, how much was that?
I want to think that Roxville one came in somewhere around about $3 million.
But didn't we pick up a grant for that also?
We got some grants and some loans.
All right, and there was supposed to be a $500,000 forgiveness on that too.
Mm-hmm.
Has that
been done? See, what we did was, I want to think with that Roxville, we included that District 3 South Windsor project as well. And all those loans somehow kind of coincide one another. So we actually tied a SCADA system to it.
There's one that we tied in. We went to Raleigh, spoke to Senator Smith and also Diener, and it was over $2 million, but there's a $500,000 forgiveness. Have we taken advantage of that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the financing was about 1.7 on that one.
Okay, so we did get the 500,000 kickback.
Yeah.
If y'all remember, most of this recent debt is when we brought in Green and we wanted to update the whole system, right? And we went after some major financing. So most of this debt is new, but it would be nice, Ricky, just to see on a you know, debt by debt what the actual expiration date is, right? Mm-hmm. So we would know if anything's going to fall off, right?
Right.
So we'll know. I mean, it's probably not soon, but it would be nice just to have a document
and
see.
And you're right, Commissioner, because I think the very first one that will fall off is the one we did with the BlackRock. That's in pretty much short road, I can say. But the other ones,
yeah, if you can take just the same thing.
And that's the smallest of all of them.
Right.
Yeah, because that was under BlackRock was actually under the old engineering company.
Yeah, that's correct.
Because I met what's his name out there?
Charles Joyner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now going back. So to answer the question that was asked, we feel very comfortable with saying it takes us about over 2.6 million, almost 2.7 to run the water department. Now, when it comes to revenues, of course, majority of our revenues come from water sales. Of course, we have some other fees, but we've had we've been meeting several times per week since our last work session. And we took a look at how the fees that we receive for various things, meters, taps, and all that type stuff, they're kind of course, they don't really compare to that number. It's like maybe 120, 130,000. But at the end of the fiscal year, we still have some outstanding debt. So that kind of takes care of itself. The outstanding, when I say outstanding debt, I mean the sale of water. We have quite a bit of accounts receivable that we, you know, have not received by the end of June 30th of each fiscal year. Yes, sir.
Well, just two questions. John, check me this because you've been around as long as I have here.
Right.
When we went in talking with Green, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of the reason we did as much as we did, because we spent a lot of money, was that we were told that there were savings to come
yes.
from spending this money. I don't see it.
And you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact.
And also, if I can add to that, please, is that picking up the other customers was going to be able to compensate for anything that we did.
So once it gave $100,000.
Yes, and Roxbull pitched in, I don't know how much, but they had a bank account. We ended up picking up money off of that. But also the customer base itself was going to be able to cover this and more.
And I remember being told just a few years ago that every water district was in the black.
Exactly.
Every one. But this shows me, when you show the revenue and you go back that many years, that's not true. Something is wrong. They're not back to 17, right? Was the only year, the last year that we were in the black, by at least by this chart, right?
18, we were a little bit.
Not expenses, expenditures.
Expenditures.
Revenue, yeah.
Revenues
are bigger.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
So last year we were in the black, is what I see is 17. Is that right?
And if I can add to that again, when we had Green here and set the new rates, which year, Ricky? 2014?
When Green Engineering came on board?
When we set the new rates, yes. What, 2013, 2014?
Yes.
Okay. So you're talking exactly 2 years later, okay? Mm-hmm. 3 years later, we're now in the red. You would have thought what we had done and looked at our expenditures, that this would have carried us on more than just 3 years.
Yeah, you know.
Because this isn't something you do every 2-3 years, raising water rates. It's something you look at in the future to see what it's going to be, predetermine it, and go from there.
Right.
And obviously, something has gone backwards because in 17, 18, we're 100 and, not mistaken, 130,000, almost 160,000 in the red.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think that it would probably take into consideration that when we're looking at doing that upgrade,
Water District 3 pretty much were the only ones that we did a lot some in District 4 for the upgrade of the water meter. And that's a huge cost, taking out all those meters and everything. So,
but again, if we're doing that, that cost is a new cost, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Why wasn't that cost brought and put back in? And at that time, since we do have consultants, that we have an increase to compensate that cost, if that's what's caused us to go into the red?
That's a good question. As a matter of fact,
you know, because we're paying for that service. Is that not correct, Mr. Manager?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, correct? I mean,
well, no, back to your favorite saying is we can only make decisions on the information that we're receiving.
Exactly. And if we're not receiving that information.
Yeah, but, or not good information.
But this is why the budgeting process is so important. We should know this every year when we do the budget, what we're going to spend and what the expenditures are going to be. I mean, I don't know about anybody else. Why did revenue drop after 18?
And you've got
right, and expenses still stayed the same.
$220,000 in drop in 19 and 20.
Hang on, county manager.
So the biggest reason here, and I'm gonna just go to the sales real quick so that we can see here. This is pretty much in line with our revenues, because again, mm-hmm. water sales, majority of our revenue. So we had a significant decrease after the 17-18 year, and that's mainly attributable to Avoca.
That's right.
There was a drastic reduction in their use of water.
Right. But Ron, the way you run a railroad, isn't it? When your revenue goes down, mm-hmm. you cut your expenses.
Absolutely.
So you don't have this kind of gap.
You're right.
We didn't do that.
No, we went forward and started replacing what Ricky just said,
right.
water meters, mm-hmm. but we didn't add for that expense going in.
Right.
Okay. We didn't do any of that.
You're right.
And again, it goes back to what Ms. Lee just said a second ago. What I usually say is, if we don't have that information, we can't act forward to do anything about it.
Yes, sir.
And that's $166,415 difference between the $2.5 million and the $2.34 million.
Great. So you'll see that about 160 or so thousand is where we fall short of what we need in order to pretty much break even. That was another question that was asked, was like, what water rate will we need in order to break even? And so that's not quite exactly a simple answer, but I mean, we can answer it, but we just have to consider that we have, I'm gonna pull it up in just a second, but we have, of course, our biggest water sales come in for our residential, because we have over 5,000 customers. So that's the biggest. Next, we do have the prison, and then we have Avoca. So what we can do is take a look at,
we would not have known if Boca was gonna.
Right, we would.
Yeah, no, but the one known cost we did know was the meters that were going in. How much would that have cost, Bobby, you think?
Well, I can tell you what we spent and what I need to spend there to complete the count. I have to spend at least about another $173,000 to complete the count.
Another $173,000? That's sure. within ten. That's within $6,000-$7,000 of what our difference of break even is. $7,000.
And you know, also I'd like to add this here, but mm-hmm. hey, you know, even when that saving, that thing talked about more than anything was the phone, telephone bill. Now, it was never mentioned that every component we put to the system had to be a contract service, such as the tooling analyzer. That's like almost $20,000 a year for that. Then you have, we bought on Roxabelle and the new water, with that water tower, that's contract service, another about $7,000 a year. Added because that's part of the system. Okay. Also, with the software system, that had to be contract, which we've never been talked about into this. So when you factor all those costs in, you're talking about another $49,488.
On top of the 50 that was supposed to pay for the loan. Right. That was from us going from analog to this system, correct?
That's right.
So the 50,000 went from the analog to this system was supposed to cover the balance of the loan. But there was another $43,000 in debt that wasn't taken in consideration would be going towards that. And I believe all that information, correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, this came from the green engineering.
But,
is not.
But this is the whole point. I thought green was here to make sure, right, that we would stay above water, exactly. Literally above water, right? So when we knew that Avoca was going to drop off, right, we should have said, put the brakes on. We're going to be down, how much you said it was?
$166,000.
Say, hey, we got to cut expenses, $160,000, or we got to raise rates. Not now, you know, when, I mean.
Not 3 years later.
And talk about, and Greg, you relate to this, they call it discovery. Discovering it 3 years too late.
And I just remember, though, Ricky, that Green said, oh, okay, because when you get all the things in, you're going to save time on manpower, you're going to save time here, and all these savings that we were, I'm not trying to say we're sold a bill of goods, but it was the understanding that this system, that this was pre-Avoca, would almost pay for itself. The work that we were investing in would pay for itself. And you saw in the prior year, 16, well, we had that gap.
Well, Ricky, is that program up and running good? Because I still see folks on weekends going to the water towers.
Commissioner Lee, and as I stated when we actually started this year, I just couldn't see how a system is wide range of hours with the everything so widespread that they're going to continue to work as they was thinking that it would. It's constantly have problems as far as the skating system itself. Right now, Kevin's supposed to be coming back in because we're before not communicating. The booster pump and Roxabelle still having this problem and everything, trying to figure out now what is it that actually caused it not to communicate as it should. And the state required us, if the system air well go down where the chlorine doesn't stay into the system, you got to continue your data operation. That's a must. That's a share from the state.
So maybe it's done now, but in the future, maybe we should not take things at face value. And
how do we fix it though? That's the question. You know, we're gonna still have these expenses, right?
Oh yeah.
What is it gonna cost us to fix it?
The only expense that can go away is once we could complete the countywide system for the meter change out. That'll definitely go away. The only meter we buy then just meter as we put in services.
All right, but that expense has been added into our cost of goods at this point in time, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And for example, this upgrade or whatever we're doing to the tanks that the chairman was talking about, and we got that figured into our expense also for the next go around. Because as I said the other day, we never really know what's gonna happen. So what our budget number has to be up as far as our expenses go, and then figure what our difference is gonna be and how much money we're gonna do. Now look here, we got experimental rate, current rate, experimental rate, proposed rate.
Yeah, so this is what I wanted us to take a look at to answer the question exactly. You know, what do our rates need to be in order for us to break even or in order for us to make a profit? So the first block that I have highlighted here is where we currently are right here.
Right.
So over the past couple of, I'll say 3 years for the prison, monthly, we sell them, they use about 4 million gallons of water.
Okay.
So at this current rate, this is how much we make for the year.
Right.
Excuse me, I'm gonna move in a second. If y'all can see around. Okay. Same for Avoca. For the past few years, I didn't go back 3 or 4 years for Avoca because you know they're not as using as much now. Actually, it is going by cup, but they're not using it as much as they were. So on average, for the past 2 years, they use about 2 million gallons of water a month. And at this rate, this is what it gives us. Okay. And of course, residential. On average, we have about 5,000 households, a little bit over 5,000, and the average usage is 4,000 gallons. Mm-hmm. per household a month, and that gives us this figure. So altogether, again, that's how we come up with 2.5. That's where we are right now. And of course, we need to bring that up till about 2.7. So it's about 160,000. So now, if we slide over here to our experimental rate, so I just call that experimental just because we're playing around with scenarios to see exactly if we increase the commodity rates per gallon, per 1,000 gallons, exactly how will that affect our revenues. So now, let's take a look. If we were to just take up the prison rate, $1, not the flat fee here, but per 1,000 gallons, this is how much it will increase. It will increase $48,000. All right? Similar for Avoca, if we just increase make sure I have it in here, it should be 575 because it's currently 475 per 1,000 gallons. If we take that up, that's actually 575. It brings us $24,000. So taking up each of those rates per 1,000 gallons will give us $72,000. And that brings us to 2.6. We're still not quite there, but that's where we would be.
Well, and we need to be at that and above.
Correct. So that was just to show you how
for future
$1 on the commodity rate, how that will affect our bottom line, our revenues. All right. Now let's take it a step further. Let's go down. Let's go to this one. All right. So now, if we kept everything the same for the prison and for Avoca, and of course, this is just scenarios, not a suggestion or recommendation at this point, but if we increased the commodity rate for residential, we increased that to 5. So that's taking it up 50 cents from 450 to $5. And then if we take the 1550 up to 1625,
which I believe it was 1650 prior to this.
Right, and I'm going to talk about that too, what Ricky had suggested in a second. I'm going to talk about that. But right now, if we took up from $4.50 to $5, which is just 50 cents on the commodity rate, and then took the flat fee up, what is that, 75 cents? Mm-hmm. That will bring us $165,000, which is about what we need to, about to break even. Mm-hmm. Okay? And again, that's just the residential.
Right.
Okay? So now, what Ricky had initially proposed, or what we were looking at, let's go all the way over to the right. And I'm now looking at this one. I'll highlight it so you all can see exactly what we're working with now. Let's see. I'll highlight that in a different color. All right. So now, Ricky had, where were we? Ricky, we had.
Those numbers haven't been changed.
No, they have not right here in the formula they have. So what this should be is 5,400.
Yeah.
And then instead of 723, Ricky took it up to 850. Let's just take a look at how that will affect our numbers. So 850 commodity rate, 5,400 flat fee. You can see that brings us $62,000 just for the prison by doing that.
That's on Excel program.
I'm sorry?
Is that Excel?
It's Excel. Yes.
But it's not changing when you change
it? No, because it was already in there. But I just had not changed that.
Gotcha.
But is that figure 850 or 8.8? I think you said 850.
It is. It's 850. Okay. Excuse me. Thank you. And as you can see, it's my formula in here. If you look at this formula, 5,400 and then 4 million gallons and per 1,000 gallons, charging 850
right.
For the year. This is the formula. And it gives us the 472,000, which is a difference of 62,000.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now for Avoca, and I need to let's update that. Ricky's suggestion was 475. All right, Ricky, 475. Mm-hmm. And then the commodity rate going up to 575.
Yes.
Taking it up a dollar. Mm-hmm. And again, let's check that formula, 475 to 2 million per 1,000 gallons times 575 over the year. That gives us 143,700 for a difference of 24,067. And then the residential, Ricky proposed taking that up to a dollar on the flat rate, which was $16.50, and then taking up the $4.50 to $5.50. Take a look at that formula right here, $16.50 plus the 4,000 gallons per 1,000 would be 5.5 times 12 times our 5,000, roughly 5,000 customers. Mm-hmm. That gives us 2.3 million, which is an increase of 300,000. So you see, if we did that, that would take us to 2.9.
All right, what did you say our budget number to run this department?
About 2.7.
All right, about 2.7.
Yes, sir.
So you got 2.7.
That gives us 200.
That's going to leave you $226,000 net at the end of the year. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But
now,
go ahead, John.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, step back.
Your expenses over and above, like, for example, what you're having to do now, because you've got to follow a very stringent how things have to operate, like what we just had here. How much was something like that cost?
For what was that?
What was happening with the tanks? I don't know what it was, but I know Ms. Lee was talking
about it. If we had to actually install another tank, depending on the size of it, you know, 500,000-gallon tank, you talk more than $2-3 million.
Okay. What you were doing out there to the tanks, the repairs to the tanks?
No.
Those on the contract, what the paintings, we pay for that yearly anyway.
Exactly.
Yes,
okay.
So if we didn't have it under contract,
all that was already in the budget.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Correct?
Yes,
okay,
sir.
All right.
So what,
clarification
what
on that.
Commissioner Trent's referring to is I went by one of the tanks this weekend and it was getting painted. They were doing a great job, but I just didn't know if we were paying for that up front or if it was under contract or what the deal was. So I sent a message to Mr. Vaughn and I'm assuming we're under contract for that.
Yes,
I hadn't gotten
an
answer yet.
Yes, those contracts with Southern Corrosion, and those contracts, I think they run like 10 years and then either renew them or something like that.
But
here's the point.
I'm sorry.
I
agree with what you're getting ready to say.
Yeah, here's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we got it don't mean we got to do it. We need, if the expenses are higher than the revenue we're bringing in, right? We're now talking about raising revenue, but we also got to cut expenses. Mm-hmm. We cannot just continue to see expenses go up. Mm-hmm. We can't do that.
So you were saying this council contract altogether?
Listen, not altogether, but we can say that bill, we don't want to pay this now.
No. What I'm saying, that's already paid for. It's paid. You pay so much per year, because if you don't, and you try to do it one lump time to pay it, oh man.
This is just my, I'm speaking for myself at this time. Mm-hmm. I really think if you look at your top on proposed rate, your top proposed rate and your second proposed rate,
mm-hmm.
I still believe that those need to be upped. The simple fact that there's no guarantee, there's less guarantee on the gallons that they're going to be using than there is in residential. Does that make sense what I just said? Because we already got caught once by estimating what the number two was going to be doing, okay? And they cut out.
You said that on the calculator. What is your percentage of profit there at that proposed rate?
At that proposed rate, you're at 226. Hold on one second. Divide by 29. 7.8%.
That's a small margin.
Very much. Very small. So my whole thing is that top two need to be increased more than what they are. That's my personal opinion. Just because if you look at the balance, you pretty much know what the residential is going to be. But those top two, you don't know what those are going to be, and they could shrink. You can't really use the law of averages of what they have been using, because we already got caught once with number two when we estimated what they were going to use, and this is what our profits were going to be, and it didn't work out.
Puts it back to a margin.
Absolutely. Would that change the numbers, the return on investment, since it is Excel, I think that's what you said, mm-hmm. County Manager?
Mm-hmm.
If you changed the top one to 10.
$10 per 1,000 gallons?
$10.50.
$10.50. Okay, let's try that. I'm going to change it here. Then I have to change my formula. Change it to $10.50.
Yeah.
And bring the next one down and change it to 7.
7 even or 7.75?
7.75.
Okay. 7.75. That's where we'd be.
Did that change your total?
It did.
Yes,
we're over $3 million now.
It was 2.9.
But and I hear what John said, and I think that's right. You got to look at revenue. But there's two sides to any equation. You can raise revenue, right? That's great. Mm-hmm. But if expenses keep going up at the same rate they're going up,
that's exactly
you haven't
right.
done anything.
And that's the reason I'm saying
and
the other.
And go back to the slide on over the last 4 years.
What'd you say the cost on expenses? Your cost of doing business 2.6.
Say it again.
What was the cost of doing business?
We're at about 2.6, 2.7.
But,
okay.
But once we get everything this in one. Place, yeah. the expenses will just be your normal maintenance and
3.6.
I mean, right now, changing right. over those are your big expenses.
Hopefully, that's it. But you just never know with operation.
Right. And keep in mind too that. The county actually started the system back in the early 90s. So we're approaching the almost antique age itself. So there's going to be constantly operation expense as well. The only thing I said is not going to be is those new meters that we're actually going to.
Right.
You know, and right now we are in a situation with the town of Lewiston. What are we going to do about that?
Okay.
That system is old, AC pipes in the system that it's almost difficult to kind of make a repair. Because asbestos cement pipes.
Okay. Is that figured in your budget already?
No.
It's not. Now, no. How much more money is that going to cost if you had to, if we've got to do that?
If we go in to repair the system, the whole system, probably the same thing we spend in Roxville.
Okay.
Because
so you're
it's about the same
about
size.
About $2 million?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the payment on the $2 million would be how much, you think? William?
Excuse me.
Probably,
hypothetically, we've got to go in and redo the Lewiston system. It's going to cost approximately $2 million. What would our payment be on that if it was?
Well, if depends on how we get it. If we got kind of like the USDA loan, which was 1.7, we're paying about, what was it, $71,000?
A year?
A year.
Okay.
Okay.
Right now, I'm sorry.
No, please,
right now, without that, okay, we're bouncing 13.7%, okay, with what we just added on there, return, net return. Now, if you add that $2 million, that $70,000 more payment on there, you're back down almost to where you were at before.
That's correct.
Okay, so you've got to add that $70,000 payment because that's a great possibility. This is going to have to happen. Mm-hmm. Is that not correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now how do we pick up another $70,000 off of what we just did? To maintain that 13.7.
Great.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It does.
Okay. Now, let's look at it. We're going to have to bring that back up and put those numbers back on it. And I'm using a 2.7 cost of doing business, 2.7. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And we got to pick up 70 to cover
70,
the Lewiston project.
70,000. Okay.
Yep.
Let's see. So 70,000. So taking it up a dollar for Avoca in the prison should bring us more than 72. So let's try that. Make this 11.
So you're already at 3 million, John. You said
yeah, I know.
From 270 to 300,000.
We had $370,000 net. Okay.
Right.
All right.
What was that?
And now what we're doing here is we would be reducing it in another 70,000 if we had that cost on there.
Right.
Which would be putting us down even lower instead of the 13.8.
Yeah, but still positive money though. Right?
I get
instead
it.
Instead of three.
But what else if something else pops on us? We could be easily down.
Yeah, if you guarantee 7%, you'd be fine.
Right, but see, you can't do
but we're not
you can't
pay.
Do that without you can't just look at revenue, not look at expenses. That makes no sense to me.
Well, that's the reason we added the expense of the redoing of the Lewiston project in there.
No, but the 2.7, John. I mean,
you're talking about cutting.
Of course.
Well, to answer Mr. Wesson's question, I don't know how you could cut your budget.
The only thing that
I don't know how because most of your budget numbers are fixed because they're loans that we're paying back.
Right.
Right.
So I don't know how you could cut that.
You can't cut that. The only thing going to end up being cut from that budget is when we complete this meter changeout. Uh-huh. That's going to go away.
The departmental supplies.
Everything, that's right. Everything else going to pretty much
remain
the
same. Which is how much? Not much. That's not much.
Are there any grant money out there that can be used to help offset any of the expenses?
I wish we actually submitted our application in to try to get funded for the town of Lewiston got shut down.
Green
Talk. Think we could
continue to do that. You know,
that have we revisited that?
Not lately.
Hasn't. I think because of all this other departmental stuff out here, maybe we could revisit that and see what happened. It wouldn't. I don't think it would hurt.
Looking at this year, we've already reduced.
I sent
that quite
some information to the town of Powellsville for their water system, some grant information through.
Short rows of it.
I want to say it was through the Commerce Department.
We've been up to 247, up to 338.
Okay. I want to say that, but and anyway, there are some additional grant dollars out there.
193. 194.
Yeah, so it's been gradually being cut back.
Mr. Vaughn.
Yes.
Okay, what you just did brought it to 11.8%. It dropped it a point and a half, okay, to 11.8%. Okay, adding the $70,000 payment on there to have to redo Lewiston, which is the added cost we got to put on there. All right. So 11.8. That would be our net.
So what are y'all proposing now with this new information?
We got a lot of grants. Well, first thing I wanted to do is to answer the questions about what it takes to run the water department. We see that's clearly about 2.7. I also wanted you all to see in order for us to break even, what factors are at play here. And we, you know, those are the three major factors at play there. And so another question that I want to ask, and you had that question, Shirley, and that was, is there a cap on what this enterprise fund can make off of it? And I've had some assistance from legal, but we were not able to find anything that said there was a cap on water. However, we did find some with stormwater and solid waste.
Yeah,
and,
I knew that on garbage. We found that out.
You can't take those funds and use them. They have to be used for stormwater and solid waste. However, that's not where we are. We're
right.
Just water. So, answer your question, no. We can find anything that limits us on that.
I'm coming back now because I added 70,000 on to the 2.7. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got $2,770,000 for operations. Okay, and we're doing $3,142,000 with a $372,000 profit, which is about 11.8%.
All right, so another question. How often can you raise rates? Every year or?
I can get you a definite answer on that. Okay. I think it's kind of, go ahead.
I only recall us raising rates one time in the last 6 years, 7 years of that. 6 years, I guess, since I've been in the election.
It was about
2016. I know that was a Boca
and
in
then
the
a year
prison.
Later, we're in the red.
Right. You know, actually, if not mistaken,
because we were told
exactly.
that we could afford to take it
exactly.
on because we were profitable.
Exactly.
That's why we did it.
Well, the numbers that we just talked about just a second ago, where you just changed them,
mm-hmm.
in my personal opinion, is where we need to be netting that.
Not having the trucks up and down the road
you're going to have the operating expense because the guys
all they said it was efficiency in operating the system, okay, thank right? Ricky,
they
wouldn't have to
many people out. The reports would have to be done.
Overtime for the staff.
Phone cost saves a lot of money on the phone system.
The phone bill was $50,000, and that would cover the loan.
Right.
But there was another $48,000 figured in as a cost factor that isn't even figured in of where our profit, our money was going to make the payments. So, I mean,
what? There was no drop in expenses.
Mm-mm. He only increased.
So, I mean, if that was all figured in, right? I can understand how revenue goes. I get it. But there was also a significant increase in expenses. Was that because of what? I'm just trying to get my head around how expenses increased. What was the reason for the increase of expenses? Was it new contracts that came into
play? We had new contracts that come into place, and then the other apparatus that go into the systems complete the overhaul or upgrade.
So we had about $300,000 of expenses were added between 17 and 18. Mm-hmm. That's what it shows.
Most of that went to departmental supplies. That must have been when you first started changing out.
Yes, sir.
So that cost has gone down, but that's
that was not figured in the budget.
That's the new meter. Is that what I'm hearing?
This is what I'm saying.
What is departmental supplies? Give me a definition of everything.
New meters.
Meters
and stuff like meters and water lines, valves, pipes. Exactly. Yeah.
But that's not baked into the charge, though, right? That's just what we choose to do. No?
Is that again, Commissioner?
The cost of those new meters is not baked in. We choose to do those, right?
It's part of the upgrade to the SCADA system. We had to.
What do you mean we had to?
Did the SCADA system ain't no good if you don't have to upgrade your meters?
The new meters allow you to do the drive-by.
Exactly.
But that wasn't figured into what it would cost to run SCADA?
Evidently not. I mean, that's a question I think Green Engineer might have come and answer.
Will we tell them? That
yes.
That was an extra charge.
The reason I say that, the only thing that exactly what I remember being said was going from analog, which was costing us $50,000 a year, would take care of the loan to go
that's
to the
correct.
SCADA system.
But that,
that was blank, right in the story right there.
Right.
Is that not a correct statement I just
made?
It's
a correct statement. And like I said earlier, these other hidden costs were not even discussed until after the system was put together. Then we have the contract with HEX, which was another almost $20,000 a year. We add on that tank, which is another $8,000 a year. We had on those software, which is another $15,000 was never even discussed.
Who approved
all,
all of
went
that?
To,
ma'am?
Who approved all of that?
Who approved all of that? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the previous county manager was in on this here because we understood what it going to take to actually run in order to upgrade the system as well.
But they didn't increase prices at that time to cover the increase in costs.
Right. That was the problem, John.
That's exactly what the problem is.
That was
the
problem.
That's the reason I've come up with that. You know, what this thing needs to be at. Just like when I told you just a second ago, what's it going to cost to revamp the Lewiston deal? And you said a couple $1 million. William just said the payment on that's going to be about $70,000 a year. So that budget number now went from 2.7 to 2.770, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to figure your cost is, and then your amount of money that what you're going to make off of it.
If we knew that the cost was going to increase by $300,000 a year, right? We could have
taken care of
still this. Done it, but we could have done it over a longer period of time.
That's right.
We would not have eaten it all in one bite when the revenue wouldn't support it. This is what I'm talking about.
But
not that we shouldn't have done it, but we could not afford to do it the way we did.
And I don't think anybody thinks you're saying not to do
it.
But
we couldn't. But
we were not told. Right. It was not brought to the attention to we need to increase prices if we're going to do this, okay? Mm-hmm. And as you said, how did you word it a second ago? How it came about and done?
What's called the SCADA system?
Not the SCADA, but the other stuff that was needed.
Yeah, the SCADA. We understood the SCADA.
Yeah. You know, if not mistaken, I remember one of the conversation that with Greenier as well, that we need to also be looking at raising and increasing our water rates, if not every year, every other year. There was conversation about that, and we did not do anything as far as raising it since 2016.
But Maria, our revenue went up between 16 and 17, And it went up by almost a good bit of money. But we raised the expenditures at a higher rate than our revenue was increasing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, that was not mandatory. We could have said, well, I don't care what those costs were, let's spread them out over a longer period of time, right? Because that actually is more than $300,000 because of the savings, John. The savings are not in there. If the savings were going to be $70,000, it's actually $370,000.
Yeah, that's what I got as a net.
So, I mean,
we need to look at this yearly, and we need, I mean, because raising, you know, 50 cent here instead of a,
we need to raise increases. I mean, we're not individual department people running departments. You guys work for the county managers, okay? Green Engineering is the consultants that work for the county. Should they have not come in and said, hey, we, with all these other expenses coming in, we have got to raise this stuff?
Well,
this is what our recommendation is.
So we need to look at this every year.
That never happened, did it?
No.
Commissioner Trent?
Go ahead.
Do you agree that we need to look at this every year, and instead of having some huge raises like we're looking at now?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a water company, but that would hurt my I'm a water customer, but that would hurt my feelings. And the prison and Avoca, you know, are not going to be happy at all with us. So we do need to look at it yearly, Mr. Spivey. And that graph is wonderful, Mr. Bowman, because, I mean, that
spells it out, right?
It spells it out.
Yeah, and,
but how do we increase residential? Do we, because we talked about this before, do we tier it in some way, or do we just do a blanket straight like we did there?
We don't have a choice.
We talked about
tiering
it, didn't we? Based on, so those who use more water pay a larger fee, and the majority of our users are at the low end. So we didn't want to increase much on them.
But again,
let those who use more water pay a higher
rate. Ron, what we did last time was we lowered the upfront cost from $1,650 to $1,550 to do that. Mm-hmm. Now we need to go back to the $1,650, okay, and do everything that you have got in place now to make it where it needs to be, so that we can have the net to have a profitable and safe system.
And if I'm not mistaken, the only difference in that 1650 in the very beginning, but 2,000 gallon was actually included into that. And but when we changed it, we
reduced to
2,000 gallon, regardless you use anything or not.
That is correct.
You know, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'd like to see is just some visual again. I know about. If we raise to this, right, how do we compare it to our neighbors again?
We gave
because we were not the highest before, but I think we were somewhere.
I think we were number third. We were number three.
Number three. But what I said, Mr. Spivey, is that I would, you know, if we can keep the customer's rate low as possible, because I try to sleep at night.
Well, we have a lot of people fixed incomes.
And you know,
it is time to raise again, but we did reduce it.
We did reduce it. I wanted to make sure everybody's clear on that. We did reduce it.
No sense to be only looking at
revenue. Wait a minute, y'all. Wait a minute. We're on audio, and all this talking over each other is very confusing for our audience. So let's, even though this is a work session, it's usually a little bit more relaxed. Let's one person at a time, or for the sake of the audience. Thank you. So what y'all's conversation?
Thanks, Chair Madam. I was saying that if we could keep the rates as low as possible for the increase for the residents, you know, I think that would be very, very important because of the condition, the work condition, and they are in now. People are going through a lot just trying to keep lights on, you know. So if we could do that, I personally appreciate it.
May I ask a question, Ricky?
Yes, sir.
Is our $15.50 based on 1,000 or 2,000 gallons?
Say it again.
It's flat. It's flat. He said, is that $15.50 oh, 1,000 or 2,000? It's flat.
Is that a flat fee?
I know,
it's,
but
that's just what I'm saying.
For how many gallons, though?
No gallons. No. You're going to pay $15.50 whether you use anything or not.
You pay for every gallon in the kitchen.
Yeah. We changed that. Right. Yeah. $16.50, you ought to make it 2,000 gallons. But when we decided to change that rate to $15.50, we included.
Because people who would use lower than that, John, we said, okay, they get a break. If you less than 2,000, you didn't pay anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But if you look at what the elements are doing with that.
Ricky, is there a significant number of people in the county who would have access to county water but are still on well water?
Yes, sir. You know,
is there anything we can
question.
Do?
That's a good question. A lot of people on just about every road that we have water on is not on county water. Now, before any of y'all came on the board, there was a conversation. I don't know if Jonathan or Lord Want was into the meeting when we talked about what we call a availability fee, because when the county decided to do a countywide water system, the people voted on that. And so if the water run past your house, a countability fee would be charged to each resident because it's available to you. But they kind of put it on the back burner and shut it down. But
some
yes,
people
that
pay, some people paid it who didn't even get connected.
Right.
But they paid it.
Right.
And they still now have to pay that flat rate,
mm-hmm.
even though not using any water. Zero.
The flat rate, not if I'm connected. Not mistaken, pays for debt service. Excuse is that me? Not what we pay the debt service with? Is the
right.
flat rate?
See, when we first started, you're right, and Commissioner Wilson, when we did the early sign-up campaign, it was for, you could get it for a $50 tap fee. And what it was actually doing over the life of that contract, if you read this, the small print, after 4 years, you don't pay for what that tap fee would have cost you in the beginning, okay? Then when each year or when we actually increase the water rates or the tap fee amount, then so instead of $450, which actually what it would cost back then in the 90s when I actually signed on to it, now you talk about $1,150 equivalent, depending on what size meter you get, costs all at once. You follow me? And there's still people out there that signed up back then. Once the well go down, then they hook up to it, but they don't have to pay anything because it's paid for. Then they start paying that fee.
Am I reading this correctly? Martin County's $50 for their flat
yes,
rate?
Yes, sir.
$50 for their flat rate.
Yes,
but remember, they're paying for that multi-million-dollar system.
Yeah, I understand.
$1 million.
Okay, system, I get it. Hereford County has a $25 flat rate. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. In our last meeting, I think Commissioner was pointing out, we'll be the third if we move forward with this.
So what can we do to get some more of these people signed up?
Nothing.
We'll go down. I mean, because we don't have anything in place to say that it's mandatory. If we come past your house, you've got to sign up to it.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting making it mandatory. I'm suggesting, is there anything that we can do to give the people incentive to sign up to attract more customers?
Mm-hmm. Like reduction in...
They're, paying right now the flat rate, no matter what.
What is the flat rate that
the
prison is paying right
kind of
now?
How much it costs to install?
The prison is paying right now?
Install
it.
It was good to pull it up.
But you,
the prison is paying a flat rate of $5,301.66 as of now.
Okay. And that's equal to pretty darn close to what Green Prison is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you brought that back up to where I'm at.
So, yes.
Ricky, it's a great point. How much does it cost one of those customers who is paying that rate but not hooked up? If we had to hook them to water, what would that cost us?
If they...
If they wanted to be hooked up, what would it cost them? Us?
For material? Yeah. I want to say we're at five.
Everything, like material, labor, whatever. Yeah, new expense.
New expense, yes.
How much?
You think? Material and labor.
Right.
$1,050 for the 3/4 by 5/8 meter.
How much?
$1,050 for the 3/4 by 5/8 meter. And if they get it 1-inch meter, you know, it costs $1,200. It goes up.
And what do we charge for a new hookup.
What, that's what I'm saying. That's what new hookup will
cost. But what does it actually cost us? Is cost. That the actual cost?
Yes, because with the material and labor, that's what the cost will actually be.
Gotcha.
So it'll be saying about $1,200. Is that what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So we couldn't offer a discount.
An average water bill.
I mean, what would be discounted is our labor, because we're going to have a lease for that $500 material. And then you got your man hours out there will actually carry the cost up pretty much. Now, we had Randy Special some time back and did a $750 per hookup.
Did it help? Did you get any new customers?
We got some new customers, yes.
Did you require that $750 at one time, or was that something that could be absorbed? Was it some type of finance, something that could possibly be absorbed
actually,
in a water bill?
Actually, during the reduced, we were actually asked to pay it all up front. You're doing a reduced rate. However, y'all's in charge, wanted to do one and break it down in three payments. Hey, I will get your pleasure.
$750 is kind of hard to.
Yeah,
I know it makes it easy to put things off.
I know you said grants are hard to get, right?
Yes, sir.
But let's say we got a grant for $250,000, right? And then we said, first come, first serve, sign up, we'll hook you up free. No cost for the grant and all new revenue. That would change the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wouldn't cost us any additional expense, but we'd be picking up massive numbers of customers.
This, just to throw it out there, this money that we're getting can be used for water and sewer. I don't know if it could be used in that way, but it can be used for water and sewer.
You're not thinking the same thing. That's why we talk that we need some prioritization based on budget. What are the kinds of things that we need to do that we can fix? If we, you know, I mean, if we were fortunate enough to get that kind of money, this would pay for itself.
It's supposed to be on the way in 60 days.
What did they
say? What's the average water bill for residential customer? What's the average?
Do we have
$3,350?
No, average water bill for a customer. I'm not.
$3,350, right?
I'm sorry.
Average water bill for a customer is like $3,350, right?
Yes, sir.
$33.50?
Yeah.
$33.50.
Yes, sir. We should certainly earmark some money for.
So it takes 4 years to break even at his rates, 4 years to break even for the cost. But if you had the money coming from someplace else, it's just clean profit up front. And I bet you if you told people you could get it for free, if you sign up right now. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get to all of them right now, but you sign it up right now.
Oh, yeah.
How long has it been since we went to County Water?
Excuse me?
How long has it been since we went to County Water?
In that 60 days. How long has it been?
Yeah, how many years?
We started the business system 92 early on.
Okay. So I still have the same well, the same pump, the same everything. So if it was offered to me free, it might be worth signing on at this point. Yeah.
I think a lot of people would say that. A lot of people would.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the base rate? $15? 15 something?
We're looking at 16.
Yeah, I mean, it might be worth it.
Well, you know, if you want county water, but you got to come up
to have that assurance.
$800 out of your pocket at one time. A lot of people just not going to do it.
It's not going to do it. Yeah. That's why you don't pick up a new customer.
Well, you know,
I like that way of thinking.
If y'all want us to do a special reduced rate with the meters.
Well, we need to know that we can spend that money that way.
Yeah, but the problem is, we're hold off until we see.
Problem,
we could be able to do it.
The problem is that could also eat your lunch too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said we got $1,050 to hook up, right? That's your hard cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do it for nothing, then say you had $500 sign up at $1,050 that we lose.
That'd be great.
It would be?
Yes,
multiply
sir.
$500 times 1,050.
Well, what's your material cost, though?
I don't think you hear what John said. You'd be losing money.
Absolutely.
Right. If you'd be losing money
if you turn around and had 500 customers.
Oh, yeah. If we do the discount, I mean,
we can't afford to lose no money.
Right.
Exactly. Not at this stage.
That's why getting a grant or using some other funds that we would not have to charge to your expense line.
Okay.
Right.
That's the only way it makes sense.
That right. And I was answering Commissioner Gregg's question when he mentioned about the reduced rate and that, whatnot.
That's a loss of $525,000.
Yep. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Can't do it.
No kidding. You don't want to do that. You don't want, right. You've got to charge what it's going to cost to hook up.
Unless there's some funds.
Unless there's
elsewhere.
Some funds available.
Right.
Ms. Bobby, is there any way that we could reach out to Department of Water from state level where Mr. Peel worked and ask Mr. Peel, are there any grants out there that Bertie County would qualify being in a real poor, depressed county
right.
of the state?
And what usually happened, the same information that will actually come to my email, the engineer firm gets it pretty much probably first, and they stay on top. That's one who actually submitted no application in for that funding. Now, throughout the state of North Carolina, Bertie County is among those thousands of water systems out there, and you have to pretty much qualify in order to get that grant. Am I correct?
Yep.
You know, and so if we can't show I don't know what it would be, the word term would be hardship in the fact in order to qualify for that money versus the other system that's out there that gets the high
fund. Mr. Spivey, it's no reason we wouldn't qualify is because of the disasters, mm-hmm. hurricane tornadoes, everything that came through Bertie County, and we could use that as part of the hardship to submit on our application for the grant.
Right. What happens, generally happens, if you go to USDA, right?
Right.
They're going to require you all, used to be you can just get a plain grant, right?
Right.
They're going to require you to put a percentage of the money up front out of your budget, right? Before they give you anything. Mm-hmm. There's no like freebie grant. But listen to this though. So you go to USDA and you say, we're willing to spend $250,000, $250,000 if you give us $250,000, which they will do. They will double your money that you're willing to put in. So we get $250,000 free.
Yeah.
We're willing to spend $250,000.
That's the way to go. $250,000.
Right. We might put up
$500,000, John.
If they don't match us.
You can't, but we still got to fix the problem at hand.
I agree with that.
And that's what the problem at hand is. And how to turn around and do the blue cup special is what y'all are talking about, the blue plate special. You know, that's a whole different obstacle other than this obstacle we're trying to fix now. We got to get back in the black. And if you look at what our debt services is, I bet our debt services in the water department, because of everything that we have done, is higher than most.
Okay, so it is time for recess. So can you make that, where'd he go? Can you make that smaller so we can study this for a few minutes while we take a recess and look over it? And then we'll resume this conversation after recess. We're going to resume our conversation around our water rate study with Mr. Spivey. Is there any additional questions, comments for Mr. Spivey?
If I can just start, there's one thing I would like to say. Green Engineering is available. They actually wanted to do this study. But when I realized what the cost would be, it was $10,000. And I said, well, you know, we can still use them as a resource if we need to, but let's see what we can dig in and find out for ourselves. And then if we still need them to do that, then by all means, we can reach out to them. So Mr. Rodney Tart reached out to me. It was toward the end of last fiscal year when I was preparing the budget for this year. And he mentioned the need to take a look at our rates and to increase. Well, again, it was the end of May and I was about on that June 1st, I was about to present the budget to you all. So I didn't have any time to do this and for us to take a look at the rates. So since that time, William and Ricky and I have met with Mr. Green and Rodney and began discussing some of this. But again, just bring you up to speed about how we got here. So again, I told them that we were going to take a stab at it, the rate study on our own. And if we needed to reach out to them, that we would. So this is where we are.
And you feel confident in y'all study that you don't feel like we need to spend that money?
at this time, no. If you all have some additional questions that we can't answer.
I do have one additional question.
Yes, sir.
I know we combined the water districts, okay, correct? But you still keep them kind of separate so you know what's going on. They're combined mm-hmm. but separate. We'll mm-hmm. just word it that way, okay? What is our fund balance right now? Okay.
Right now, I don't know right offhand. I have to look it up.
Okay.
It
to you. So you'll be able to email all the commissioners.
Right? Yeah, and I also will email. I try to look up in the audit. I have some dates I will throw out to you right now, but I will put this in email too. It looks like the four water districts, the big amounts, will run out. District 1 in 2036, 2 in 2037, 3 in 2035, 4 in 2040.
That's debt services you're talking about?
Debt service,
guy.
The District 2, which was basically we refer to as the SCADA system, will be May of 2038. The District 4, which was referred to as the Roxabelle project, is November 2037. The USDA loan is 2048. And the BlackRock is May of 2032.
Wow.
Okay, so all those after are all capital gone. Projects that were done within a very close proximity of each other, which was probably about within 24 months of each other, according to those payoff dates.
William, what restrictions are there on the use of fund balance?
Excuse me?
What restrictions are there on the use of fund balance in water districts? If any.
I don't quite understand the question.
No. Okay, the question was asked, how much money do we have in fund balance in the water district, right?
Right.
Or what restrictions are there on the use of that money?
It's what y'all's guidance. I mean.
Right, there are no federal or state restrictions on how we use that money.
Right, yes. Okay.
And we also know that the more we have, every time we want to get state support, we have to use our own money first.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense. If we're looking at closing a gap or something, we want to look at how we can use that fund balance money rather than continue to dive into the hole.
What's our next step?
Do y'all want to go back and talk to your citizens? Do you want to vote on it today if you want to think about it and us bring it back to whenever our next meeting will be, work session, and vote on it then? We can. What's the pleasure of the board?
My personal opinion is we vote on it now.
Is there another?
I don't support. I understand what John said. I don't support that. First of all, there's a look at how all other counties are doing it when they charge more of that rate up front, right? $25 or whatever it is. We don't have, almost everybody's going through that system, except for us. I'd like to look at the possibility of that. And that should there be more tiers in our residential use? I'm leery about putting so much on the backs of those who are the least able to do it, even if there was some breakouts in residential, so that people who use more pay more.
Let me just understand what you're saying real quick, so I don't misunderstand. You would want it to be front-end loaded, correct?
I like to look at it as a seat of
so possibility. So no, you want to be front-end loaded with no gallon on it, where some people are charging 25, some are charging 50, where we're only going to be charging 16.50.
Correct.
So in other words, front end load the water bill instead of seeing what the back end is going to be.
The average price is $30-some, right? That's what the average price is.
The front end load.
Right. You front end load, you may be able to do even more in the tier. But it gets your cap, it gets your working money up front. That's important. Managing your budget. Those are two things that concern me.
Okay. Well, I have the same
way, and then also some kind of.
Team. I got the same concerns you got, and but my concerns are if you front end load it too much, now you're taking people who aren't making the kind of money, and you're doubling it up front basically, and the back end load is
Well, John, but you can manage that, because if you know that the average price is what that is, you started that, whatever that upfront money is, then you can start tearing it up from that. So it's fair, much fair. And then the other piece is that we ought to be looking at that fund balance money to see how we close some of this gap, because we're losing money there.
Well, I do agree with that.
But
I like the idea of, I mean, at 1650, that just brings it back up to where we were before we dropped it.
Exactly.
You know, the other counties are doing $20 and $25.
But they don't charge the other money. We're charging 650, and we're then charging the 550.
1,000 gallons is a whole lot in a month. I mean, I'm not a water customer, so I'm not sure what my water bill would be.
Is that our average customer?
Well, Commissioner Robertson, what is your water bill?
Look at 16 to 30.
$33.
His is $33.
Okay. $33.50 average.
But your water, actually, your water bill?
Yeah, mine's.
But we can't afford 40. To go backwards, that's for sure. And not have that per gallon, per 1,000 gallon rate, even if we upped it to 25 or 30, to like the rest of the county.
Just to point out something else too, it's kind of based on how we present it, because based on where we are now, quote, we say we have a $15.50 flat rate, and then a $4.50 per additional 1,000 gallons, right? But it's the same thing as saying $24.50 for the first 2,000 gallons, right? I mean, it's the same thing, it's just a different way of presenting it.
Right.
That's correct.
So I just want to point that out. People, counties, you know, advertise or post it differently, but it's the same thing.
I think that the $16.50 is a good rate for the people in Burton County. Well, for me anyway, and I think we can control how much we use and pay for the uses of how much we use. At the same time, I think we need to take a look at the fund balance and see how much is in the fund balance. And because, you know, the fund balance, well, we got some things coming up in Lewiston Township that we need to be, you know, we don't need some funds to help address. But I think that we could take a look at this after we get the fund balance and see what the best way to go. And though we know we don't need money out of the fund balance, probably for that help support and finance that Lewiston project, and come back and make a better decision.
So can we not not take what's being proposed, the $16.50 plus the $5.50 per 1,000 gallons, and use that as a basis for your everyday usage, paying your bills, the service debt, upkeep on the equipment and all that good stuff, and then use the fund balance if we do have to go into Lewiston and do something, and not figure that into the scenario. And then we would be using our fund balance to lessen that gap.
$16.50 to $5.50 is not what people are paying on average. They're paying, as what you said, $30 per month. So if you figure that amount, yes, you can do that. But you can't figure it out $16.50 to $5.50. The average person is paying $35.
Uh-huh.
That's not $30, that's $25. It's actually $10 people are paying because they are using more water.
But Mr. Spivey,
yes, sir.
Aren't we really saying the same thing? We're just mixing numbers.
It get very confusing.
Well,
when you're talking $16.50, $5.50, and the average is $33.50, people are using a couple thousand gallons on top of that. So you're at the $33.50. So we're saying the same thing.
Right.
All you're wanting to do is get all the money up front, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My thing is, it's probably more palatable for somebody saying $16.50 than $5.50 after the fact for 1,000 gallons.
Well,
but we're saying the same thing.
We all need
to.
be more conservative with our water.
True.
And so if raising those rates would persuade some to be more conservative. Plus, those people that don't use any water would still be billed that 30, whatever rate we set for the flat rate. Instead of $16.50, they're going to be billed $33, $35,
how many people
whatever
we got
flat
like
rate
that,
is,
Mr. Spider.
Which isn't fair to them either.
How many people we got in the county that aren't using any water? Zero.
Not many.
So,
but I probably would be one of them if we
use water. That's on that water system. It's the one that actually impacted. Okay.
Right.
Other than that, you know.
And basically, the $16.50, the $5.50, and whatever they use over the $16.50 is averaging $33. Correct.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so basically, we're saying the same thing. You're just wanting to get it up front instead of charging
with
what
the use,
what the use per
I'm
use
not
is.
Saying I want to charge $35 up front. Like Juan said, if you look at what 2,000 gallons is, that's $11. Add $11 to your 16, that's $27.50. That should be the upfront fee for 2,000. That's where all the ovens do it. And then beyond 2,000 gallons, you can add any rate you want to get to the average 35. So it softens the blow.
Any input, Mr. Spivey?
Hey, I work at the federal board. I can work the numbers whichever way that y'all think that it can be fair to the county we serve.
Okay, we either put it all up front or we break it down.
I'm just thinking about those that don't, and I know you right. say not many, but there are some.
So we're basically saying the same thing. It's just one up front, the other ones broke out.
But those that don't use any.
But what is the amount up front? Not the 30.
He just said it's averaging 33, right?
Right. The average is 33, pretty much.
But that's based on what's the average water usage in gallons?
4,000.
Right? 4,000.
All right. 4,000. There you go. So that's how you get to $35. At 4,000 gallons. Adding those two amounts together is only at 1,000 gallons. Even if you went to 2,000 gallons, you get a lot cheaper than 30 something. I'm just saying, if you want to soften the blow up front, why would you add $35?
So what direction do you want me to go in? I mean, let me know.
It's clear we don't have a consensus on that. There's five of us, and we all have five different opinions on that, evidently.
But we all agree that we need to do something. Right?
We need absolutely. To do something.
Oh, right. Yeah. Of course. We're all in agreement about that.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
Right. So maybe everybody can think about what they like to propose. And at the next meeting, if my question is, any other information you all need from us in order to make a decision? We're going to get you the fund balance numbers as well as the expiration dates of the loans. Is there anything else that you need from us?
I mean, in that same email, so because I don't know about the men in this room, but this female loses, I mean, I'll lose that information. I haven't wrote any of it down. So if you could, like, the rates, the 2,000 versus the 4,000, you know, what our average is, all that, it's all that information that we've discussed.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll all have the same information. And we won't be relying on our memory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I ask a question? Is it the residential rate that we're more concerned with as far as increase versus the other
for
one?
For me, it is. At?
Yeah.
So, and then actually, my proposal actually was $2, $1 on the flat rate, $1 on the commodity rate. If we cut that in half, it's use $1 increase, 50 cents on the flat rate from $15.50, $16, and from the $4.50 to $5, on the dollar increase on that, would that be more along the line that we want to kind of look at as far as increase on the residential part? So we can keep those numbers.
The only problem is we need to keep those numbers.
Right. And I think.
How would we achieve that bottom line is where we need to be at.
Okay. What if we actually, as you made a recommendation earlier, to increase it on the vocal farm in the prison? Kind of offset that other look at part of the potential. We can still get that bottom line to where we need it.
I don't know what that's going to do to the number. You'd have to get back in there.
Can you do your magic on Excel?
Yeah, sure. I'm not opposed to increasing on the prison and Avoca, right?
Exactly.
But you gotta. There is some at some point that becomes a disadvantage.
You're exactly right.
Okay. And we're already raising good debt. I'm not saying we couldn't go more, but at some point, you're going to get some pushback. Either Voca's going to say, "Hell, I can just put another well," right, or whatever.
And I agree with what he just said.
And so eventually, on residential, eventually, yeah. I do want to protect citizens. That's why we're elected.
Right.
So I would rather see us protect, especially the smaller users. Okay, those who are under 2,000. And then the next threshold, if the average is 4,000, mm-hmm. but people who use over that ought to pay a premium. Okay. And I would like to see us use the fund balance to help them wipe out some of the expense.
Okay. Which we got to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
But if we put a premium on that plus 4,000, left it like they have it and put a premium on the 4,000. Then there's no explanation why you went from 1550 to 25 or 20, whatever. They're not gonna, they're the whole understanding. Are y'all really cold?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I like to say this is what we're told. So right now, it's conceiving. Most people use more than 1,000 gallons. And those who use no water still pay that 15 cents, zero.
Well, we could change that, the ones that use no water, to 26 or 33.
I would not be in favor of that. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about people who have wells and this, that, and the other?
Right.
Oh, no, I'm talking about people who just got something sitting there, a meter sitting there, not using anything because there's nothing on the lot.
No. I'm talking about those. Because, like, if we were to do this program we're talking about and I signed up, but I'm still on my well because I have great well water, I would not want to pay 30-something. I would not sign up knowing I was going to have to pay $30-something. You know, the $16.50 hurts bad enough, but.
I can understand that. I can understand that. I mean, I don't have that worry because I live so far back in the woods. But anyhow.
Yeah. I mean, I just.
I ain't got water line.
Yeah. So if you said 1550, and then you tiered it by every 1,000 gallons.
Right.
Right up the road. 1,000 gallons, 2,000, 3,000,
4,000. That I would say increase the rate instead of it being 450 for each additional gallon. You're saying make it $5 for.
Whatever it is,
well, they've always said that whoever used more water than anybody else, it should go up. The rate exactly should go right up. And they've and always said that.
Okay.
Right. So $5.50 for the first 1,000, $6.50 for the second, seven, if that's what you're talking about, or
that. Those got a number. I'm saying, no. I'm saying it's $5.50 for the first 1,000. Maybe it's 11, you know, it goes up by the price of $1,000.
Well, that's what I was just saying.
How much are we going to increase that? I mean, where is that cutoff point?
Every 1,000 gallons is $5.50.
Okay. Yes.
Simple as that.
Well, okay.
So that's what everybody, right?
We're at 450 now. Right. We're at 450 now.
Okay. Yeah. But we moved it to 550 on the other side.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I just want to make sure we keep that bottom line on that side.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? How will we accomplish that? Really doesn't matter to me, okay? As long as we keep that bottom line.
I think you'd actually do better if you had 1650 and at 550 per 1,000 gallons, right?
Yeah.
So 2,000 gallons is what, $11?
Right.
Yep.
Right? And you keep it right on up the line. Figure out what that would be for your average user. When he says it's 4,000 gallons as an average user, that's higher than the number you're making more.
All right, so basically what you're saying is keep the 1650.
Right.
Move it a dollar. Keep the 550 per 1,000 gallon that 1650, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And then if they get up to 4,000 gallons, it goes to what?
It's $1,000 per, it's 550 per 1,000
gallons. Okay. Well, that's what we got up there right now.
Right. But what I'm saying, John, is when you do that,
showing that your average user is 4,000 gallons, you're making more money.
That's $30.50. So
right.
But again, it's got a 3.1 million. You get a
That's right.
All right. So you're good with that then?
Yeah, because you get more than 3.1 million.
Okay. Then I
get a lot more than
that. Okay. Then so that's the reason I'm in favor of moving forward with this.
But we haven't, that was not part of the proposal, what he's talking about.
And I'm not ready to vote on that because until I see what the fund balance is.
Okay. So you're good with everything except for knowing what the fund balance is.
Right.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that.
That's what I said earlier.
If we could, if we had enough in fund balance that if we had to do something in Lewiston, or if we had a pump to go down, or that we could take it out of that fund balance and not have to figure it in. Because how do you figure in something that's unforeseen?
Well,
I mean, we
know
about Lewiston, but we don't know about a
potential.
That's
the reason you got to keep that percentage that we have on there right now.
So if we could take it out of fund balance.
All right, but Ron, you're good with everything on the board right now, but you want to know what the fund balance is, correct?
Right.
I agree with him.
Wait a minute.
And I'm adding 1650 to that.
It's 3850.
That's 3850,
right,
the average person would pay. So, so right now we know that's $3 better than the average. So you could give some slight discount as you go up in volume, right?
Right.
And still beat the 3.1 million dollars.
As long as we get that bottom line, that's what we got.
That's my point, right? So everybody would be paying the same up front, and everybody to some point would be paying the same thing per gallon. That's easy to explain.
So, like, the second 1,000 gallons could be $5 a gallon.
I think you got to go up more than that. I think you got to get up above the average or very close to the average. The average.
And you got to remember,
that's the average.
Back when we did have them in here, the more water people use, the more they should have to pay.
Exactly.
Okay? And that's the deal. And not go backwards. We need to go forward.
Right.
As long as we don't go under that bottom line number
that's
we
right.
have set. Okay?
So you could even perhaps, since you know what you want to end up, right? You could discount the 550 perhaps down a little bit at one time and then go up and you get to the four, and the four has to give you at least that, right?
Connie, well, are you
I think
with
we
us?
Need to follow what I'm saying.
Okay.
My whole thing is
I have a feeling you're gonna be
the
one doing the figures.
And then we do what we have to do after that. Because we need to keep that number. And that's a known number.
I don't mind saying it's 550, but when you get up to 4,000, which is the average, you're paying $38. That's an increase for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that, yeah, I don't mind starting at 550, but as you go up, that amount can go down some. So it's not 550 every time. Maybe it's 550, maybe it's $5, maybe it's 450, because you still make the same money. But you know what I'm saying? The people who are at the other end are paying or vice versa, discount it and then go up.
So
now that would take us under.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
it would.
It would.
It would take
because,
us under.
And again, the state always says the more water someone uses, the more they should be paying per 1,000. Okay, and that's
I think
it's
more per 1,000 or more dollars.
More per 1,000 would give you more per dollar.
I think it should stay 550 until you get to that
4,000
average 4,000, and then
it moves.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's fine.
So we start out at the 550.
But you can't keep it at 550.
And once you get to the 4,000, go to 6. Well, you got to put more. You got to put a premium on that water.
Because a family on of 4 or 5, that's maybe your local folks that work in your county, that we don't pay a whole lot. So for them to to pay a whole lot in a water bill. Anyway, it makes it bad for those that don't have a lot of resources, but they can curve it, to keep it there, not wash their cars and go to the car wash and wash it.
Yeah, but we have a responsibility also to keep the system moving and be able to do it. This here will be able to keep the system moving. And I have a problem with Ron says, when they get up over 4,000, increase that per 1,000 price. I don't have a problem with that.
The only thing I want you to understand is that right now, when you do that, the average user is going to be paid $3 or something more. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, right? Mm-hmm.
$3 on what?
$3 plus a month. Mm-hmm. Automatic.
Right.
So that's why I was thinking, step one, you stay at 550, that's what happens, right? If you discount the 550 a bit at the low, maybe that's 5, maybe it's 450. And then you move up, you protect the low end, and you still get the same money right here. That's not what I'm trying to be clear. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
you get the same money, but mm-hmm. you protect everybody on the low end.
But do we know we're going to get the same money? Do we know how many people are using 4,000, over 4,000 gallons? Do we know those? That those are unknown numbers.
Right, you said that the average per customer.
And you know what?
The total number we actually have, and then you kind of look at the usage and divide by that, it gave us the average of 4,000. Well, now, Commissioner Wesson, okay, if we go with the 550, okay, right, and we know we're using the average of 4,000 gallons, we keep that at 550. We want to look at the possibility, maybe from the 4,000 to up to maybe 8,000, back down to $4 per 1,000, then go back up after 10,000.
Right. Look, the theory ought to be that low users pay less.
Right.
Right. But if we know that we need to get to a break point at 4,000 gallons, right? Mm-hmm. So you can start a little below 550, as long as you get here at 4,000, right?
Right.
It's 550.
Right.
Right. Because that's what the average is. Mm-hmm. So you could start a little lower and have two, but at 4,000, you're paying whatever that would be, mm-hmm. 550 per 1,000.
Right.
But then as you go, you can do anything you want to do above that.
Then we're not going to get to that 3.1.
That's right.
You would need to go up after the fours to offset the ones you went down on. So yes. The average item.
Absolutely. But at four,
but you better know what that number is going to be.
Yeah.
You got to know what that unknown number is.
Where we need to be doing that. I can't see it.
Mr. Spivey, I need adjustment. Got a water leak. Okay. So you paying nothing this much. What do you think? That wasn't exciting.
Well, we need to. All right, so we're gonna table this for the time being until we get some more information. Once again, so once they have that information, they'll come back to us, and hopefully, then we can. We'll have time after we get the information for the next meeting to think about what we want to do and take a vote on it. Because we do need to act. Every day that we don't act, we're going in the hole. So
other than the fund balance that we inquired about, what other information do we need to bring back?
That's it.
Yes, and would you like to have a breakdown of what Ron is saying, is what Commissioner Wesson is saying, as far as 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 gallons to see where we're at total?
Just as you did the scenarios there, right?
Yes, sir.
Right.
If you do a scenario at 550 per gallon,
right,
all the way up, right?
Yeah.
Or, and what would that give us?
Okay, that's this one.
The other scenario is that you wouldn't hit 550 until you get to 4,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, 4,000 gallons.
Right.
So perhaps it would be, you know, $4.50, $5, $5.50 at 4, and then you continue to go up.
Right.
Right? So mm-hmm. that lower users pay a little more, but your average four citizens in this county
right.
would still go up beyond that number.
Right.
Because you're increasing at the high end.
Right.
Right.
The difficulty there is not knowing how many citizens are going to use. I mean, we could go back and look, but
it would be an guesstimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, how many citizens are going to use 2,000 gallons versus 3,000 versus 4,000 versus 5,000?
Is that a difficult number to get? How many users use
Connie, if you go to a spreadsheet average. Somewhere. I
mean, so, right. You just got to make sure we go up, just like we, if we go down, we need to go up.
That's correct.
In the same fashion.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am?
Yeah, so at 5,000, you're above 550 to 6, that's, you know.
But I agree with that.
How difficult would it be to say how many users are there using 1,000 gallons? How many at 2,000? How many at 3? How many at 4? Just some breakdown.
Very difficult, yeah. Okay. I mean, we don't want to cause you stress.
We're trying to put those numbers in and get the information as close as we possibly can, because as Commissioner said,
it's a guesstimate.
A guesstimate of what you do as far as coming there. Unless you sit down and look back at the last 6 months or perhaps 12 months and go down line by line at each user and see what they've been actually doing and then kind of separate out like that, because other than that.
Right. Okay.
You know. Get as much information as you can. Yeah. The best guesstimate that you can. Okay. I've asked Ricky to give us a update on where we are. You know, back when the governor signed his executive order, he said we couldn't turn off folks' water, and some folks didn't pay because they knew we couldn't turn them off. And then the executive order changed and allowed us to start charging, and we set up payment plans for some folks. Anyways, I've asked Ricky because we haven't heard an update on that since December, maybe. I don't know. It's been a while. So
I think it was the December meeting and everything. And we actually had some customers to come in and take advantage of that payment plan. However, someone kind of, you know, forfeited it. Paying, but not actually paying that it's supposed to. We didn't get as many that we thought we would. Perhaps maybe, I wrote that number down, or maybe 70, 49, 70, something like that, all those accounts.
Wow.
You know, but the revolving door before the pandemic, I mean, that not going to pretty much change. We have the same pretty much customers. They're not going to pay the bill when you got a pandemic or whatever. Okay. So that's where we are. And we are actually, we did cut off and everything. And as I stated prior to that, I don't care how much mail you put out there, people's not going to respond until they get home and do that and then nothing happens. And that's what happened. When we cut them off, then they start paying. You can sell paper plan all you want to. If you don't cut it, it won't happen.
When they woke up and couldn't make coffee, that's when it hit them. Oh, I need to pay my water bill.
But that's what we got. Like I said, we had something come in to pay, and we had something to forfeit. So we had to come. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you. I did not give Mr. Spivey a heads up before today's meeting that I would be asking him about this. So my apologies, but thank you. Yeah, you warned us that the phone would start ringing, and mine did not. So I'm very grateful that it did. So any other questions for Mr. Spivey?
Yes, ma'am. A little off subject. We had some brief discussion last time about the water system in Scotch Hall. And I think we decided that the county provide water up to Scotch Hall, and then the system inside of Scotch Hall belongs to Scotch Hall, and the county reads the meters at the height. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Question came to my mind, what would happen if a line ruptured inside of Scotch Hall?
What would happen is they would have their maintenance crew that's actually, and I want to think that's beyond the northeast corner of Scotch Hall, making repairs they did previously. They have some broken water lines in there that the maintenance crew took care of, to my knowledge. As a matter of fact, one of the homeowners called me on Christmas Day.
If I'm understanding it right, then we got county, if the line ruptures inside of Scotch Hall, we got county water flowing into the ground in there that's not being metered, isn't that right?
Actually, you're right. Any broken water line inside, outside would not be metered. It'd be just unaccounted for or accounted for water, and we'll be guesstimates of how much we probably actually lost that goes into our report.
You don't see that as a concern if they had a line leaking that wasn't really causing any water pressure problems in there, and it was just leaking county water, and it really wasn't costing them any money. it may slow down the repair process.
Good question, but my main concern with this is we didn't see it coming in the very beginning when we actually agreed to sell water to Extra Time with Embrook. Okay. Once they got that course developed, they decided that we pay for the system, it's ours. And it's supposed to be deeded to the county with the ASBIL and everything. Council, do we have a copy of the deed to Embrook? They never did do that. They never deeded to us nor gave us a copy of the ASBIL. And they said, this is our system. We paid for it. Okay? We have never, up to this day, went inside there and did any kind of alteration, repairs, or anything to the system, not even to flush the line. Now, since we started to upgrade to the system, we put a master meter at the entryway of Scotch Hall there, as well as other areas throughout the county. The question is, do we want to meet with them and entertain the fact that we have a master meter? This is your system. We're gonna start actually reading the master meter to your the bill, and y'all kind of disperse towards the people there.
He says we do.
Do we have a master meter?
When we did upgrade to the system, Green Engineer
told you.
And look, now four of you all was on the board, I think, when all this come about. Mm-hmm. That's in the plan. We put a master meter at the entry rate.
But we aren't charging based on the master meter.
What we're doing is actually reading that meter there to see what's the difference of the water going in versus what they're actually paying for. Until we
remember when I brought that up to you, Greg, about the master meter?
Until we actually sat down
for the water goes in.
And meet with them and change the way that we actually build them, we're going to continue to read individual meters and send them the bill.
I didn't realize what
I was going
to say. Yeah.
So
I forgot
that
the
one.
Wait a minute, y'all. Wait a minute.
Rest of me just tells you how much we're going to the gate. But we build individual houses.
So theoretically, the master meter and the houses should pretty well balance together.
It should, but you know what's going on there. And as you said earlier, what happened if they have a broken water line? Or either what happened when they need to flush that system because Have all of us actually did a ride through that golf course?
Yes.
Okay. Now you notice just about every road in there, some are actually end up what dead end.
Yep.
What happened to a dead end line? The water gets stagnated, so they flush. In order for us to get compensated for that type of water being used and just flush, because you have to flush the system, even we flush the system, is to do the master meter.
Charge them off the master meter.
Yeah.
Well, do we? I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm big time.
That's how much water they use, is what the master meter said. They can flush all they want to.
Okay.
They're going to pay for it. Do anything they want to do with it.
Is there any paperwork we need to research, see if we can do that? Or do we have a different type of agreement?
Just after last month's meeting, I started circulating an email trying to find that an agreement. Lloyd thinks there is an agreement. And so Ricky's checked his records. He doesn't have it. Juan's looked at his records. I don't think he's got it. We're looking at our records. We're going to try to find, as I was driving over here, Lloyd called me and said he found a resolution. So I don't have it. I'm going to look at it and I can circulate it. And because we just wanted to know, because it started with Greg's question, who's responsible for repairs? Who's responsible for hydrants? And I thought, well, the best place to start is find the agreement the county had with Innsbruck for the extension of the line into Innsbruck. So I think we're pretty close to having something we can look at, see what the agreement was at the time.
Well, I do remember they wanted us to take it over, and I was deeply against that because we didn't have no paperwork. We had nothing there. We had no as-built as far as where water lines were at.
That's what Lloyd remembers as well.
Nothing.
That we didn't have any as-built, so we didn't
know. And nor were they giving to us.
We didn't know what we were buying.
And then they claimed it was theirs.
Yeah, I guess, right.
But I remember Scott telling us, he said, what you really need is a master meter. And that's when we put it in.
That's right. When we
so
put
we
it in.
So we know when there's a leak, all we got to do is look at how much water we're giving them and how much we're charging for. And I bet you there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not implying anybody to do this. No. I mean, theoretically, you do it attack the line and pour the grass or pour the entire golf course.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Again, I'm not implying anybody.
Well, you know, for the most part, the golf course will pretty much, I guess, allotted out for each lot to put a house. And so the developer already put in the service. And when someone actually builds a house, move in, they'll call us, and we just go install the meter in the box. The service is already there.
But the great point is somebody tapped in and was watering the golf course.
Right.
We would never know.
We would never know.
We'd absolutely never know. We don't know what we're paying for. I mean, how much water are we giving away?
And that's why I say about the hydrant, the flushing of the system, you know, they got a lot of dead ends, and they're going to have to, especially when summertime rolls around, they do more flushing, which we do more flushing in the county. But however, if we can kind of build them through that master meter, and then we can kind of recruit some of that money.
Well, yeah, we were standing around in the last meeting, and we a few of us were talking, and we said, yeah, that would be great if there were such a master meter, and then we could build by that. I didn't even know that one had been.
It wasn't one then installed. Beginning, you know.
It was about actually, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, maybe 10, that we had that thing put in.
Well, actually, we got it put in, I think, right after you all came on the board, because we started on the upgrade.
Yeah, Scott was here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was his, he thought it was a great idea for that same reason, that how much water are we really giving them? Because, you should probably allot them something to be able to flush the system.
Right.
But I can, if they're running that golf course, they're not watering that grass and those lawns off their money. They're watering that off our money.
Right. You know, because when we start doing the upgrades, I mean, all for this, and we talked about those master meters and the meter system. Not only just Scott Hall, we put a master meter in for Herford County.
The end of the line.
Any county that we have a potential could sell water to, we did that just in case. You know, so you're right, Commissioner Wilson. You're aware of that. We did put one in. But not up front when they first started, which it would have been better. If we'd have knew that they wasn't planning on leading over to the county, turn over to the county, we might have probably entertained putting the master meter in. But we're thinking that they were going to do just like the other towns to turn the system over to us. They deed it to us. And then we maintain that key.
Yeah, I know that we, and what we did, what we have found, I know that 2005, I think we found, there was a letter you found in 2008 that I think was a McDavid letter.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that, and that's, Z Lamb was the county manager at that time. So I know when the line was extended in there, it was around 2005, 6, 7, right in that range. And I know that the question arisen at the beginning was, does the county pay to put the line in? And the decision was made that no Rial Corporation or Innsbruck, as it was called at the time, is going to pay to put the line in. And then, like, that fits with what Ricky's saying, is that when it got done, the question was, okay, so you guys are going to deed it to the county? And it sounds like they probably said, we paid for it, we're just going to keep it.
Right.
And I think we didn't, the as-builts weren't around, so we said, well, okay, I don't know exactly what was said, but I think before we make any decisions on what to do as far as billing at the master meter, or just even answering, you know, going back and finishing answering your question, Greg, about just something in writing, who maintains this system, who's responsible for it, and then to get to the liability question of if a hydrant isn't working, what happens? Then I think we need to take a look at that agreement and the resolutions that were done at the time.
Ms. Bone, have you looked in prior minutes and to see if we, what was passed, that would have been, what my guess would have been 2012, maybe?
I have. I'm not getting many results because from my understanding it was prior to Mr. Sauer, who was back when Mr. Lamb was here. And I can't find a lot, but I can continue to look.
Well, if you'll continue working and then.
Yeah, I feel like we've at least found a resolution. Lloyd said there was two resolutions. Like I said, just found out as I was driving over here. So we'll get those out, or we'll look at them and distribute them as needed.
To me, Jonathan, the other very important question is, since we have a master meter right now, right? We know how much water is going in, right? We should also know, Ricky, how much is being paid for. That difference might shock us.
Yeah, that's something you can do without it, a resolution.
There you go.
You can
we
go
need to know what
that.
We're losing in revenue. That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have another concern too, which I know one of our big water users, and which the Boca Farm. Now, the Boca Farm actually requested an extension to their facility for fire protection. All right, Green Engineer was involved with that. The first two meetings, which I wasn't part of, but I did get to meet with them, me and Mr. Vaughn, when the next meeting came about. Because when the phone call came in, they said we want to meet and move forward with a fire main for fire protection. And so, which I did not know that they didn't have no way of fighting fire by the, if something happened to that plant, until they said they needed a fire main, the line to run to their gate just in case. Okay. Quail Ridge Main.
Say that part again.
Me and Mr. Bone
question. He wants you to repeat that.
Yeah. Say that one more time.
It's a Quail Ridge Fire Main, but just in case a fire breakout. That's the only purpose is for a fire main. And the state signed up on it. Green Engineers and Mr. Sal, and I think Steve Big might have been part of the meeting, previous two meetings prior to me and Mr. Bone. He had just came and me and him went down and we met with him, trying to get some heads and tails. And that's what it was, just a fire main.
And we did that, or just what they wanted?
No, they paid for that. We didn't.
They
didn't
paid
cost,
for it.
Yeah, we didn't pay anything. No cost whatsoever to the county. But that was pretty much a done deal. I mean, it's a fire main, and the state said that they didn't have to permit it due to the fact it was just like a service line. There's no users on it, and just the hydrant in the case of fire breakout in the plant.
But the fact that they paid for it all, that's great, right?
Great.
That's good.
And is that because they were so far from the fire department?
I guess, I'm not sure. But at the same time, my concern is what Commissioner Gregg just said. What if inside the golf course they decide to tap into it and sprinkler system and so forth? What if they decide at the end where the fire hydrant is, it decides, okay, well, it's at the gate, we could probably run some off of it. So my concern is, do you need a 12-inch main for fire protection? I mean,
pretty big.
So what's the solution, metering that also? Is that something to be done?
That's what me and Ms. Bone talk about. I think that it should have been in the plans to put a meter on there. Because yeah. I did tell them for the state and for my year-end report, I have to do a local water supply plan, meaning that I have to show for unaccounted for water, leaks, breaks, whatever. That goes into the report. So if something happened back there, I would need to be able to tell how much water went through that to go into that report as well.
So probably
isn't that what I told Mr. Vaughn?
Mm-hmm. So I probably ought to be part of our standard policy. Mm-hmm. Anytime we extend any line or whatever like that for a third party, there needs to be a meter.
It got to be a meter. It got to be a meter.
Protect that, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Our customer, our citizen.
Yeah, you know, and I think when I questioned Leo Green III was the engineer that actually called the meeting. And I asked about the size of the, I know the main was equipment main. What size meter would you actually need on that line to be able to meet? I don't think they make equipment meter, but it might have been reduced or maybe 80. But.
Okay, well, thank you. That was some good information. So we'll wait to hear back from y'all, and then hopefully at our next meeting, we can make a decision sooner rather than later. So next on the agenda is the county manager's reports.
Now I'll try to be somewhat brief. The first thing that I would like to do, I have just a number of things to mention, but the first thing I'd like to do is for William to provide a quick update on the budget. Not much has changed since our last work session. However,
thank you, Mr. Spivey.
We want you all to be
Thank you, Ms. Connie. Yes,
thank you.
Thank you all. I want you all to be aware as to exactly where we are financially.
While I've handed out to you, I wanted to explain my situation a little bit. When I first pulled the report together, I didn't realize I had specified expenses only until after I printed everything off. So you have two handouts. One of them will be revenues, one of them will be expenses. And they normally would be all together, but I didn't want to have to waste any paper. So. One of the things I kind of want to point out, if I know this is a lot to take in, but just if you bear with me just a second, I would like to look on the expense side, page 4. You'll happen to notice that elections, salaries, and wages, which is part-time, shows a negative balance. I'm currently working with the director for elections right now to try to figure out what part of this money can be charged to some of the COVID-type money that she received. But it's just plugged in here for right now as a placeholder until we iron out the details of where it should be charged to.
But does she have two part-time employees? I mean, that's the way it was introduced. I thought we agreed to one part-time back at some point.
Which department is that now?
Elections.
It has one part-time.
Yeah, I would say I was thinking one part-time.
There were two ladies there the other night.
One is full-time and one's part-time.
Oh. Okay.
One other area I just want to point out, because I feel like if you're looking at this later on, you may have some questions. On page 17, there'll be the section in here that basically says COVID response. You'll see a big negative number over there. And part of that is will be tied back into the budget amendment I just got you to approve earlier to buy the message boards that FEMA said they would reimburse us for. But since I had not got to approve yet, I have not put that in the system. So it shows a negative amount right now until I get that updated.
That's the 23,000?
Yeah, 23,500.
Is that all you want to point out, William?
Yeah, I'm trying to look through here right quick. I think that was the main points I wanted to address.
If you all have any questions, please let us know again. We just wanted you to have this and know exactly where we are. Again, as far as the percentage of budgets used, we're still tracking. Not much has changed since the last time that we spoke. The last time that William gave the update, he informed you that we were expecting to have a pretty good year in terms of having a surplus because of the coronavirus relief funds have really helped us. We use it in a way that allowed us to not use some of our money that was budgeted. So we're still expecting that.
And
for, a little bit reduction because of the budget amendment we just approved earlier.
Right, but still, so still a surplus.
And Warren reminded me that that number you gave us last time, William, that you guesstimate, I understand.
My crystal ball.
About $800,000, right? Mm-hmm. Now, did that include things like, you know, we funded, I mean, budgeted for assistant county manager. We haven't spent that money, so that's there. All of those less than expended dollars all figured in that amount?
Yes, because when I projected out, I only projected to carry out based on what we have spent to the end of the year.
Great.
So if we weren't spending that money, I wouldn't project to spend it.
Great. The other thing is, I know we have final 19 numbers, budget, complete?
Audit.
Audit, yes, excuse me, audit, complete. Yeah.
No.
No.
No. No.
We have.
I mean, complete, fine, bound up, here we go.
Fine, bound up, no.
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 Right,
no.
Bound no. up, no, we don't. However, go ahead.
Okay. 20, we asked the auditors a month ago, sitting right here, I know you called, William, why don't you call, to give us an estimate of where we thought we would be in 20. You still don't have an answer, right?
No, we've actually been placing calls recently to try to get some answers.
Actually, I asked them three times.
That's a month ago. And these same people who were late on the last budget, that, to me, that's not a good sign.
By 2 years late.
It's not a good sign.
I agree.
I'm worried.
Me too.
Are they contracted for this year budget?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's too late to change at this point.
What do you mean too late?
We kind of ran into a problem a couple of years ago when we done this because it was kind of late in the season. That's how we wound up with this particular company. So it needs to be something that we're looking for.
How many years?
We started in August.
Yeah.
You can
end a contract anytime you want.
I know you can.
But it takes too long now because it takes months.
We would never get a report from the previous year, right?
Well, right now we're still never getting a report.
Anyway, right?
I offered to make a phone call or I'll go sit on their doorstep. But Mr. Vaughn has assured me we're not at that point yet. But when will we be at that point if we don't have what we're looking for?
And that's the 2018 and 19 budget we still don't have in our hand.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So
we know what the numbers are.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Right.
We don't even know the number.
Yeah, we don't 20, have the 19-20.
Yeah, I'm looking 19-20. So right. We can start our budget for this coming year.
Right.
This is one we've actually placed calls very recently and trying to get in touch with someone.
Yeah. And so I will do that. If I don't hear from Greg, someone this week, I will let you all know. But it is my goal. I need to hear from him ASAP to tell us where we are so that at our next session, our work session that we probably have where we discuss the budget, we can start planning for, next year's budget.
Because last year when we did budget, we didn't have our audit. I don't want us to be in that same position this time.
I don't either.
Yes. That's the point.
I agree.
And if he doesn't want me to come camp out on his front doorstep, he needs to.
Yeah. Actually, it was 18 and 19 budget we didn't have. A 19-20 budget we ain't got.
That's the one we're currently working on.
Exactly.
It's time for that we're talking about.
But when we did budget in June of 2019, we didn't have the 18-19 audit to even do the budget.
Correct.
Right. To know what our starting spot should have been.
Correct. Okay? We don't want to be there.
Or where we would have been at.
Mm-hmm. That's how you end up in surprises.
Exactly. And that's
we were smart enough last year that we said we didn't know, right? So what did we do? We cut 5% out. And now we're looking at savings of $800,000. Best thing we ever did. Maybe we didn't need it. But we don't know until we see it.
And I do agree. I agree completely with what y'all saying. And we have actually been placing phone calls trying to get someone to respond to us. Unfortunately, it's kind of hard for us to do that in a day like today because we can't be around our phone, but we are trying to get in touch with them.
When does their contract run out?
Well, I think the contract is an annual contract.
Right.
But the thing is, if you want to start looking for another firm, we need to be looking several months ago. Because this time of the year, it will be hard to find anybody to come in to do one because of the obligations and all they have
Well, I think in the fall, we need to start looking for someone else that's going to produce our audit on time. Yeah.
We need to understand something, because I mean a lot of y'all know this. Ron, how do you know about no auditing firm probably want?
Yeah, they're hard to come by.
They don't
want to
do it. They don't want to do county budgets.
Right.
It's the worst thing in the world to do. And the only way you make money is you've done them every year, so you know how it's done. You start from zero, like these folks started from. It's a nightmare.
And to his comment, I agree with that. That last year was their first year. Mm-hmm. Part of their growing pains was trying to get everything set up.
Right.
So I really expect this year to be a little better. Unfortunately, we're starting to get into that same routine again.
Well, they're going to blame it on COVID, whether or not that's to blame or not. But that's what they're going to blame.
Well, and we also know why we changed the last time too.
Oh yeah, screw it
up. Yeah, and then signed one and sent it in, wouldn't even see it.
But imagine this: we could be sitting 30 days from now, working on budget for 22, without. I haven't a guess to make. Pretty realistic. William does a good job.
I want a draft.
But nothing about 20.
Oh, no.
Zero.
Zero.
We could be $500,000 in the hole.
Not exactly. And think you're balanced.
I would love to at least have a draft copy.
Yeah. they are aware that we do not want to be back there again. I hope that Greg has
that's all it was. And think you're balanced. You know what I'm saying? It's like 18-19. Think you're balanced.
We're on out here.
So, anyway, like we can say, we at least – the very least want to draft. We want something. We don't want to go into the next year not knowing, having to.
That's right. That's right.
So we have not received that FEMA money as of yet.
That's what I was about to say. Yes.
I was looking for the email because I'm going to send him an email because they said 20 to 30 days. Yeah, that was February the 12th. And so that we're past.
We're past 30 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Right there. February is a short month.
Yeah. But go ahead. As of this morning, it was still not in the bank. So,
okay. All right.
Any other questions about this that William has supplied to us? Okay.
Thank you.
Of course, if you have any, you can send me an email. I'll respond the best I can to it.
Okay.
Okay. Next, I want to talk about upcoming meetings. On March the 23rd, our newly appointed commissioner, Commissioner Robertson, will continue his essentials training and have an ethics training. And the newly reelected commissioners, Commissioners West and Commissioners Trent, will also take the same ethics training on March 23rd.
Tuesday.
And the Cartwright has already registered them for that. March 23rd. Okay. So our next regularly scheduled meeting is April 26th. Okay. And Shirley mentioned she and I had some discussion about having another meeting or work session before that time to discuss a number of things. One, of course, being the budget. Hopefully we'll have the audit by that time and talking about some priorities for the upcoming year. Robin has some tall glass of water things she needs to discuss. So things like that. And so I like to propose the week of April, although it is Easter, but somewhere right in the middle of where we are now in April 26th would be the week. Easter is on April 4th. Easter Monday is April 5th. So if you have any time after Easter that week, that's something that we can take a look at doing. If you all, and I don't know if Commissioner Trent stepped away, but if you want to confirm that now, we can. If not, we will just have to do this. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here that week.
Totally free. Okay. I think you ought to, just in case people try to eat some money, maybe like a Wednesday, the 7th.
Okay. Commissioner Trent, we were just discussing having a work session between now and our next meeting, which is scheduled for April 26th, and we want to take a look at the week of April 5th, which is Easter Monday. If your availability permits, we could have a work session later that week. The week of April 5th, so like April 7th. April 7th is a good date.
Mr. Robertson,
that's fine.
Greg, are you good for that day? Commissioner, Sorry, y'all.
What time?
Ten, same time, 10 o'clock.
That's fine.
I'm sorry. Yes, April 7th at 10 o'clock.
So, yeah, I don't, you know, we started having these 10 o'clock meetings because of a former commissioner that was not a morning person. So we can back that up if y'all are all morning people. Mm-hmm. We could certainly back that time up, mm-hmm. you know, to an earlier time. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm up. That's up to y'all. No, I'm up like anyway. So
nine is good.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We're going to run to 2. Or what time are we going to run? Tell me.
I've told him after 2 o'clock, my brain just starts shutting down. I'm not much good after that.
And I gotta, call at 2:30, right?
We haven't gone into closed session yet either. So
I've told him if we try for 2, if we run over, at least we're not trying till 4 and running over. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm hearing April 7th at 9 o'clock AM here. All right. And it makes it a little bit easier if we could just reset this meeting.
Okay.
So that we don't have to do all that.
Does it have to be here?
A space like this gives us much more space. We can do the commission room if you like to. It's just much smaller.
And it's just so
the river, it's smaller though.
Yeah.
But
that's fine.
Up to you all.
That's fine. Yeah. We'll have our regular meeting in there at the end of the month in that room. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So again, April 7th, 9 a.m. next commissioner's work session. Okay.
So
here at.
Give the auditors.
Oh, yes.
That deadline saying I got to have it.
Ultimatum.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Moving along, of course, I'm sure, pretty sure everyone is aware of the American Rescue Plan that was approved, the $1.9 trillion budget that plan that President Biden initiated. So that has been approved, and from my understanding, we could receive exceeds of $3 million. We could start receiving it within 60 days, and then the other portion a year from that time. So anyway, as we learn more about that, that's something that we can discuss at the work session that we have on April 7th. I think that was it. We are nearing the close of our cooperative extension library facility. The big holdup with that was the parking lot being so wet, as Amber shared last time, but they are preparing, and I say that, and I think there's a prediction for takeoff of rain tomorrow. But the tentative date to have that done was tomorrow, the 16th. So we'll see how that goes. We'll keep you posted on that.
I'm going to interject. It's a beautiful building. If y'all have not been inside, I just took a chance and went up there. They were very welcoming. I didn't feel like I was intruding at all. So it's a beautiful building. Anyways, go take a look.
It's going to rain tomorrow, 95%.
I know.
So we'll see. That again, that could delay it even further. We'll see if they're able to do it tomorrow. Probably
95%.
Not. Yeah.
Nope, 3 days of that.
So,
and on Wednesday, it's 60.
Thursday, 4 days.
I think that is all I have right now.
Okay, so on that subject, we do need to, if you have any suggestions for a ribbon cutting, we do need to get our minds focused on that. I do have a flag coming from Senator Tillis's office that was flown over the Capitol for our ribbon cutting ceremony. Also, you know, we need, so if you have any ideas toward that, please pass them on to Mr. Vaughn and Ms. Cartwright. I've already kind of given Ms. Cartwright a heads up that that would probably be one of her first big things that she would do for us, is plan this ribbon cutting along with Mr. Vaughn. So, pass on any ideas that you may have that you'd like to see at the ribbon cutting. It's going to be a big deal. We have a beautiful new building. Commissioner's reports. Mr. Roberts.
I'm keeping my eye on Senate Bill 476. Talks about the mental mental or illness funds and that's going to the high school and the schools in Berkeley County for a nurse, some kind of psychologist to help keep the kids in line that is ill.
That's a North Carolina bill.
North Carolina bill. Signed in June 8, 2020 by your governor.
Okay. Commissioner Trent. I think it's just supposed to be a small amount of rain. Yeah. Not a gully washer like we've had. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, Commissioner Atkins. No? Yeah. Commissioner West.
One thing. I mean, obviously we're gonna get that money, that big piece of money at some point. Mm-hmm. I just believe that we need, like we're gonna do the work session, whether it's then or afterwards, we need prioritization of the things that we think we would like to do and how that money could be. This is a once, not in a lifetime, but maybe once in a 50-year kind of opportunity for us. So we need to be thinking about and prioritizing how we can spend that money, right? And there are a lot of, counties are already doing that. Some of them are looking at how can they double their money? How can they use their money to raise other money? So
I think so, great. What do you think?
Need to be able to do it.
Well, I think great.
Set those priorities. They can change, but we need to be prepared.
Not that I have it. I was thinking there was something earlier, but I'll ask for right now. County attorney?
No, ma'am. I have nothing.
All right. So public comments. Ms. Cartwright, do we have any public comments?
We do not have any public comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we need to go into closed session for two different items. Yes, so those pursuant to General Statute 143-318.11A3, 5, and 6. So three different things. Well, anyway, so do I have a motion to go into closed session?
So move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, Ms. Carter. Aye. We appreciate the public's patience with us. I will just say this. Did we have any other public comments since we went into closed session? I called her off guard.
No, Chair, okay. I didn't have any more.
Well, I will take a motion to adjourn this meeting. Second.
So move.
All right, we got a second. All in favor say aye. Thank you so much.